is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run.
Fire down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked.
It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there.
Boy, cuts to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
We're ready to go. Welcome to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones here for the next 3 hours here until 3 o'clock. Ready to go. All set up and ready to go. plenty of setup time today. No complaints from me, Donald. I know I've been kind of a whiner the last few days. I'd like to apologize to you and all of our...
Well, this is not the last few days. This is more of like...
We haven't had time to get ready. We've had plenty of time today. Thanks for joining us. We got a good show. We'll try to make the best of it with all this time we had. I don't feel rushed anymore. I feel like kind of sitting back and just... I'm going to go back to one of those chairs in the background.
I think you like this.
It's just a little different than being, you know, I was setting up, trying to get... You know, yesterday, I let you basically open the show because I was doing too much.
Yeah. I see... It was a little bit off, though. I almost went outside to my car. Left, went to the store, came back. Yeah.
I was going to go out for a smoke, and then I remembered I don't smoke. But we had a little time, and now we're ready to go, and we got a good show. Greg Cosell is going to join us at 1 o'clock. He is executive producer and the top analyst on NFL Matchup on ESPN. We got some other players to talk about in the draft. Also today, Andy Benoit from MMQB, one of our favorite guests who does a tremendous job breaking down video. He'll join us to talk about a variety of things. Yes, we'll talk quarterbacks with Andy Benoit. Of course we will, and a lot more to talk about as well. Speaking of quarterbacks, that's the topic of our Twitter poll, and that's what's going on right now. Right while we had this long gap before we came on the air, Donald and I were watching Lamar Jackson, Louisville quarterback, in his pro day at Louisville. We'll have some of those highlights for you a little bit later on in the show. An interesting guy, though, Donald, who... You know, we just watched, what did we watch, 3, 4, maybe 6 plays?
Mm-hmm.
He could factor into the Bills' plans. I don't know if he factors into the Bills' plans up high in the first round, but maybe down there, you know, 22, second round, right? He could factor into their plans. At 12, maybe even, I don't know.
I could see a lot of teams, 20 and back, looking at him. Give him a real strong look. I don't see the teams up there past, you know, 19 and down or up, however you want to look at it, up to number one. I don't see them looking at him that strong. But if you're a team anywhere from 20, 21, 22 on back like the Bills are, yeah, you might be thinking about taking him because he's a talent. You know, the guy has a lot of talent. The guy can make a lot of plays with his arm and with his legs. And you've seen it. Obviously, he won the Heisman Trophy, but I could see them giving him a strong look. I don't see it at 12. I think if you're not able to get up into the top 5 to get a quarterback, then you go in a different direction at number 12, and then if he's still sitting there on the board when you're up at 22, then you go ahead and, you know, you can pull the trigger at that
point.
We'll
see how that works out, and we'll see some of the highlights from Lamar Jackson's pro day today. There is some Bills news today, believe it or not. Ian Rappaport, NFL.com, reports that the Bills are re-signing wide receiver Kalen Clay. They finally signed a wide receiver. Kalen Clay, you recall, spent some time with the Bills last year, 4 games played here last year, caught one pass for 28 yards. Kalen Clay, wide receiver, wore number 12 for the – did he wear 12 for the Bills last year? I don't think so. But he was here last year. 5'10", 195-pounder, a native of Long Island, California. He wore 13 with the Bills last year. Mm-hmm. Played at Utah. Played with the Carolina Panthers a little bit last year as well. Started his career in 2015 with the Baltimore Ravens. Kalen Clay reportedly back with the Buffalo Bills, according to Ian Rappaport. So they know they need receivers, and there's one of them, Donald. I think with a little bit of experience he had here, he would have to figure somewhere into the mix, right, at least when you go to camp.
Yeah, I mean, he's a speed guy. So you could be possibly looking at him to be that type of guy for you. As we keep talking about, you need a speed guy. He could be that guy. I think they would still end up drafting one. Obviously, last year when he got here, he was trying to learn the playbook quickly just to help out anywhere he could. Now he's going to have a full offseason in this program with the new offensive coordinator, with everybody else in the offense, whoever's playing quarterback. And, you know, you could see him actually emerge. And I think the big thing is you're going to have – new quarterbacks here, with the exception of Nathan Peterman, you would think actually worked with Kalen Clay a lot in practice last year. You're going to have Nathan Peterman, A.J. McCarron, and whomever they draft, which I think they're going to draft one. three new quarterbacks basically to the offense. And so everybody's kind of on a blank slate. It doesn't matter what you did last year. Nobody has a rapport with any quarterback on the roster right now. And so Kalen Clay could emerge and be that guy.
Kalen Clay came to the Bills, remember, right before the opener. I think it was right around Labor Day last year. The Bills traded away a corner, our good buddy Kevon Seymour, to Carolina, brought in Kalen Clay, and he played four games here for the Buffalo Bills. Kalen Clay, according to Ian Rappaport, coming back to the Buffalo Bills. So adds to the receiving corps, which, as many people have pointed out, the receiving corps is a little bit light these days. A couple of free agent visits reported today, too, by the Buffalo Bills. Nothing confirmed by the team on any of this, by the way. But the Bills hosting defensive end Terrence Fidey today here at One Bills Drive. Reportedly, Terrence Fidey, who spent the first four seasons of his NFL career with the Miami Dolphins, 51 games, 55 tackles, one sack. He's a product of Marist College down there in Poughkeepsie. So former Dolphins defensive end Terrence Fidey, 6'4", 267-pounder, kind of an edge guy. He is reportedly visiting with the Buffalo Bills today. And another visit reported today, no confirmation, although this was reported last week that he was coming. Cornerback Philip Gaines, former third-round pick of the Kansas City Chiefs in 2014, reportedly visiting with the Bills today here at One Bills Drive. No confirmation. They typically do not confirm the visits. If they sign him, they will eventually confirm that. So the report is that Kalen Clay has re-signed with the Buffalo Bills, the guy they got in the trade for Kevon Seymour a year ago. The report is that a couple of free agents are visiting, including defensive end Terrence Fidey and cornerback Philip Gaines. And you're caught up on the news here from One Bills Drive today. Still active, Donald, even though 2 weeks ago it was Brandon Bean said, we're done, our free agents, we're out, no money.
Yeah, yeah.
They're finding value guys now.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they're doing. They're not going out here spending a lot of money, and I think that's what he meant. Don't expect any big-name signings or any $10, $15 million contracts coming out of Buffalo. We're finding these value signings because you still have to fill out a roster. And I'm not sure how many guys exactly are on the roster right now, but you have to fill out the roster. You have to still add some depth players on this team. You know you have your draft picks, but you still need to bring in some guys that can contribute possibly next year.
That's the news here from One Bills Drive. Regarding the Buffalo Bills, we all, of course, keep Jim Kelly in our thoughts and prayers. He underwent 12 hours of surgery yesterday, 12-hour surgery for the former Bills quarterback, the Hall of Fame quarterback. The surgeon, Dr. Mark Erkin at Mount Sinai West, said in a statement, "We successfully removed Mr. Kelly's cancer from his upper jaw and lymph nodes from his neck. Then we reconstructed his upper jaw. Mr. Kelly is resting comfortably post-operatively." Kelly's wife, Jill, said in a statement that the recovery will be extensive, and she asked fans to pray for him. We certainly will do that. Jim Kelly with surgery yesterday, cancer removed from his upper jaw and lymph nodes. That's on the minds of a lot of Bills fans these days, and we send along our best wishes. The Kelly family's gone through a lot. Mm-hmm. Jill Kelly's statement, "The Kelly family requests that you continue to pray for Jim's recovery as it will be extensive." They're talking about a couple of weeks for Jim to be in the hospital. He'll be screened again for cancer in about 3 months. What a battler, you know, what a warrior he has been the last 4 years now with this debilitating illness.
The biggest thing if you're dealing with something like that is to keep a positive mindset, and that's what he's done.
Yeah.
You know, he continues to be an advocate all throughout the country, all throughout the world, and especially here in this community. And if you keep a positive mindset, you can really battle a lot of different things. And as soon as you change your mindset and you get down or anything like that, your body can follow. And so the fact that he's been as positive as he can, and hopefully he continues to be that way, I'm sure he will. His family will be the same way. He'll be okay.
All right. Now, today, what are we talking about? We're talking about this. 4 weeks from today, the NFL draft finally is here, a month away. Thursday, April 26th, nighttime. I think it's 7 o'clock that day. And the thing, you're not going to be able to get away from the NFL draft if you flip on your TV that night, Donald. I told you this before. NFL draft round one Thursday, 8 p.m. not 7, 8 p.m. on Thursday. Going to be on NFL Network. Going to be on Fox. That's new. ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN Deportes. All over the TV on round one Thursday, April 26th. 4 weeks from tonight, 8 p.m. the first round of the NFL draft. We're talking about the draft as we always do on the show. And our Twitter poll, what we'd like to talk with you about on the telephone line, give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. If you look at the last few days on our show, what have we done? Tuesday, we posed the question, how did the question go? Should the Bills stay where they are or trade up? And we got pretty good response on that. Like 72% said trade up, go up, get the quarterback. That was on Tuesday, right? I'm going to look that up because it's important. Here it is. Tuesday, 2 days ago. What should the Bills do in the first round of the draft? Trade up for a premium quarterback or stay put? I'm sorry, it was 62% of you, almost two-thirds, say trade up. So yesterday we put this question out. All right, you want to trade up? Which quarterback is worth trading up for? And 40% of you said Josh Rosen, the UCLA product. 24% said none of them are worth trading for. 24% said USC Sam Darnold worth trading up for. And 12% said Wyoming's Josh Allen. Today, we take it a step further. We're trying to, I think, in our own, you know, herky-jerky way, we're trying to project what might happen to the Bills and the challenge they face. So now, today, the question on the telephone lines and on Twitter, on a Twitter poll. So if Darnold, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen are off the board in the top five, and if the Bills are there at 12, can't move up, what should they do then? If the top three quarterbacks, consensus is that those three, Darnold, Rosen, and Allen, are the top three, what should the Bills do at number 12? That's our question. That's our Twitter poll. That's our telephone line question. If you'd like to ring in and let us know, give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can weigh in on Twitter, on our Twitter poll, the question, if Darnold, Rosen, and Allen are off the board in the top five, what should the Bills do at number 12? Right now, 65% of you say, trade up and get Baker Mayfield. All right. Right now, 21% of you say, draft Lamar Jackson at number 12. And 14% of you say, stay at 12, draft a non-quarterback. Let's know what you think. We're trying to take you through the process of the decision-making that has to go on here. You better believe, and I do believe, that Brandon Bean and his staff have had all of these scenarios already. They've gone through them probably in meetings, and we'll do it again over the next month. All right, what if these quarterbacks, they'll probably do it man-by-man quarterback, right, wouldn't you think, Donald? All right, what if Darnold is gone? What do we do at 12? Do we try to move up? What if Josh Allen is gone? What do we do? Do we try to move up Rosen? And what if those three are gone? What should the Bills do at number 12? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. It's going to be a tough decision either way, and there are variables that are not totally in control of the Bills, right? They have to find a trade partner. That might be the most difficult, somebody to move down.
Right.
Somebody who's got a premium pick, whether it's Giants or the Browns, or maybe somebody else, move down. You know, it's a tough ask, right?
Yeah, you have so many teams up there that need quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the biggest issue right there. Even you look at the Giants, Jets, which we know the Jets aren't moving back, the Browns, the Broncos, they all need quarterbacks. And the Colts are a team that might say, nah, we want to stay here and pick Chubb or whoever they might like at number six. You know, so it's not going to be easy to move down. Maybe you can get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to move back or something like that, but it's not going to be easy for the Bills to make that happen. I mean, these teams have premium picks, and I don't know if they want to move all the way back to number 12.
So that's number one challenge, finding a trade partner. Number two, knowing what the people who are going to draft first are going to do. It's a difficult task, but we want you to kind of think through it as the Bills' decision makers might be. And what do you do if Darnold, Rosen, and Josh Allen are all gone and the Bills are sitting there at number 12? What's your plan then? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Or do it on Twitter. You can weigh in on Twitter. We've had people already do that, kind of give us their scenarios. Epic27 tweets, and the Bills should trade back. We can get our quarterback next year. Stockpile the picks and do whatever it takes to get the quarterback out of Alabama next year. I don't know. Ryan May says, I think Mayfield is probably one of the better in this draft, but touchdowns certainly don't tell the whole story. Rosen and Darnold had less talent in teams than Mayfield. The offensive styles are different. I want Mayfield over Darnold for sure. I like Rosen, but less than Mayfield. Okay, well, we're all kind of sorting through that, right? Who do you want? Who do you like? You know, how would you? What are you doing, Donald?
My bracelet was coming. It was getting loosening up.
That's
a little
an interesting
bit.
Bracelet.
Yeah, it was getting loose on me. But I think you trade up for Mayfield. If you're serious about trading up, then you try to trade up to get Mayfield. And Mayfield, you might not have to trade all the way up there to get. You know, you might have to trade up to like number eight or something like that to get Mayfield, because you don't have as many teams as strong or as just a stronger conviction on Baker Mayfield. So I think you probably can trade up and won't have to get all the way up there to get him.
What if they don't like Baker Mayfield that much?
Then you stay there at number 12, you know, and you take somebody else. And somebody else, for me, is not Lamar Jackson at number 12. Somebody else is a linebacker or wide receiver. And so you sit there at number 12, and now you just pick out throughout the rest of the draft. Use all of the draft capital that you have.
Give us a call. Let's hear what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-552-550. We'll start on the phones with Frank in Cheektowaga. Go ahead, Frank. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Yes, I was just watching the NFL Network.
Yes.
What Streeter just has on his new mock draft is Buffalo.
Who? Whose mock draft?
Streeter.
Streeter.
Schrager?
Schrager.
Yeah.
Peter Schrager.
Schrager, whatever his name is, yeah.
Well, that is his name.
Buffalo is moving up to number 6 and taking Baker Mayfield at number 6. And that's what he's got on his board right now, today.
Yeah, so?
And the other...
Frank, are you saying that's his prediction and you're going with that?
If we can get him at number 6, I would definitely do that.
Okay.
And the other thing is that they're showing the pro day now for Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
And if they can't make that trade, and he seems to think that they can, I would go with Jackson.
Because he's on your TV? Come on, man. We got to think through it a little bit more than that, don't we? Frank, I love you. Thanks for calling. But, look, I don't know that Peter Schrager, he does the morning show, right, on NFL Network?
It's a very popular show, Murph. He has a platform. No, I'm just
all right,
messing with you.
He might have a platform. He does have a platform. It resonates with people. Does he have insight into what the Bills are doing, what the plan is? Does he have a source? I don't think so. I mean, anybody can do a mock draft. You got to look at it with a little bit of, you know, intelligence here, right? Anybody can do it. Anybody can do a mock draft. Anybody can say they're going to move up to 6. Peter Schrager's mock draft. Who cares what Peter Schrager thinks? That's my point. Does anybody really give a darn what Peter Schrager thinks on the draft? Do you care? Would you? If you
I
were
don't care what any of these guys say.
Neither do I.
From
Mel
Peter
Kiper,
Schrager to Mel Kiper.
I don't think any of them have any particular insight into what the – we're a month away. It's a mock draft. It doesn't – you know, Peter Schrager's, you know, filled the 45 minutes of his time probably last night coming up with his mock draft. He doesn't have it. I'd be shocked if it could happen. But he doesn't have any insight, does he, Donald? Help me out here.
That was great.
What was great?
Because we said that we were talking about that over in the other in the office before we came out here, and I'm like, Murphy has a platform.
Yeah, you did say that. Sure, he's got a platform, and he's a good guy. I don't think. Do you think he has any insight into what the Bills' plans are?
No.
Nor do I.
I don't think anybody has any insight. I mean, it's right because. What he's going off of Peter Schrager and anybody else who does a mock draft, and you say, well, so-and-so is going to trade up. You're basically doing the same thing that we're doing. It's basically thinking that they're going to trade all the way up there or try to get up there because they've traded up to number 12. So now it looks like, oh, the Bills are trying to do whatever they have to do to get up there to get a quarterback. And so when you do your mock draft, you try to project something like that. The Bills are going to only be able to get up to number 6, and then they're going to take Baker Mayfield because all of the rest of the guys would be off the board. Who knows? Maybe they can up there. Maybe they can get up there. Maybe not. Maybe the Colts don't want to trade all the way back to number 12, 6 spots out of the top 10 premium picks. That's not really – it's not easy to do. And the Bills would still have to give up a lot just to get up to number 6. And maybe the Bills are like, I don't want to give up that much just to get to number 6. Especially if we're trying to get to number whatever, 2 or 4 or whatever the case may be. We still got to give up some more to get there. So I'm not sure if they can even find a trade partner.
That certainly could happen, what Peter Schrager suggests. It could. But I guarantee you he has no particular insight into that's how it's going to go down. It was a month from now. We've had these kind of scenarios for the last month, and we've tried to sort through them and maybe present the ones that make some sense and maybe have some basis in fact. But we can't just spit up, you know, who's got a mock draft coming out tomorrow? Are we gonna flip out about that?
Probably.
I'm not. You can. I am not. I don't think these mock drafts amount to anything, really. They don't. It's been proven they don't amount to anything unless, you know, we're a day before the draft and somebody's got great sources and, you know, now we're talking about the top half dozen picks. All right, then I would look at a mock draft knowing that somebody might have a contact with somebody. But come on, man, really?
I think tomorrow your mind is going to be – you're going to be like half in, half out tomorrow getting ready to leave. And go to the Final Four.
What's that got to do with it? I'm trying to pay attention to this stuff.
No,
there's a tweet here from Aaron Weaver. Murph really doesn't like Baker. No, that's not true. I don't really. I've talked to NFL scouts who have questions about Baker Mayfield. That's not me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who I like. I'm not making the pick. I've talked to NFL scouts who have reservations about Baker Mayfield and do not think he belongs with the top three that we've talked about, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and Josh Rosen.
Is that because of talent?
It's a little bit because of talent. It's a little bit because of attitude, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
That's not me talking. There's a reason why Baker Mayfield is not at the top of boards. And, you know, no matter what somebody says now, is not at the top of the NFL board, right? He's somewhere down a little bit further. He's going to be one of the top six. There's no question about that. Probably be the fourth quarterback selected, I would think.
I
don't dislike Baker Mayfield.
He probably will be the
this draft stuff down.
The fourth quarterback off the board. And who knows? Baker Mayfield could still be sitting there at number 12. We've seen quarterback slide. We've gone into drafts and thinking that, oh, man, all of these quarterbacks are going to be drafted. And then let's just say you have a run. The top three are gone now. And you have Denver sitting there. Denver seems to like tall quarterbacks. And maybe he just doesn't fit their profile of a quarterback that they like, and they just let him go. And then what? He can now slide all the way back to number 12. And maybe the Bills don't like him. You can see him slide all the way back. Keep on sliding. Or maybe the Dolphins take him at number 11. This stuff happens. Guys do slide. Maybe the Bills can get up there. Maybe the Bills can't. It's so hard to say right now. I think we all would like the Bills to trade up. And I like Baker Mayfield, but I don't know if the Bills like him or not. And I don't know if Peter Schrager or anybody else, Mel Kiper or anybody else, knows if the Bills like him or not.
Here's another interesting tweet. Frederick Gundell says, I hate to wreck your show. Too late, Frederick. We've already done that. I hate to wreck your show, but I have a strong feeling that Nathan Peterman will be under center in September, and management knows it, so all this quarterback draft talk is meaningless. I know they like Nathan Peterman, too. I like Nathan Peterman, too. He will have a chance to be under center in September. There's no doubt in my mind about that, but I do think they're interested in drafting a quarterback.
Oh, really interested.
I have no doubt about that.
Yeah, I think they're interested in
I don't know if they will.
Talking to someone. Right. I don't know if they will in the first round. I don't know if they'll be able to get up there to get the guy that they like. So maybe they end up drafting one at 22, or maybe they end up drafting one at 12 if one of them falls to number 12 or back in the second round. I think they're going to take one fairly high in this draft, though. Whether the first round, there's going to be a quarterback to come off the board.
I would bet money on this, and I will. You don't want to make this bet. Bills.
You don't want to make this bet.
One of the Bills' first three picks, or at least four picks, will be a quarterback.
Okay. Yeah,
even if they start trading away people and only have, you know, four picks in the first four rounds.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
There's
going to
be a quarterback in there. And that's like, of course you would think that if you're thinking about this. Here's one more. I'll read one more tweet. Matt Dibble, John Murphy show fired up about and done with draft talk. Strap in, Murph, another month of this. No, I'm good to go. I know there's another month of it. I just don't like meaningless draft speculation. You know, we can talk about the quarterbacks, and we will for the next month. We can talk about what the Bills should do, what they might do. But, you know, mock drafts from guys, they really have very little value, I think, in what predicting what might happen. Don't you think?
I say mock tomorrow drafts, let's do a Final Four show. The entire show, Final Four.
I'm focused on this. Don't get me wrong. I am focused on this. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Or you can do it on Twitter if you'd like. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Here is Ron calling from Niagara. Hello, Ron. Welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning, guys.
Good afternoon.
Love your show. Oh, yeah, you're right. For my edification, and I have no opinions, assuming Bills don't get the quarterback they want, what insights do you have into the scouting reports on next year's crop of quarterbacks, whereby the Bills fill in other needs and go with the quarterbacks and select someone in the fourth or fifth round? But my real question is, what kind of scouting do they have on next year's crop potentials?
Well, I don't think it's I don't have much there to give you there, Nick. I don't think it's anywhere near I don't think it's anywhere near the quarterback class that you have this year. Now, the Bills scouting department, I'm sure they have a pretty good sense of who's out there. But I don't think there's anything close to what you have this year. Is there, Donald? Do you know any quarterbacks coming out next year?
Next year, no. I haven't heard anything about any quarterbacks coming out next year. And I remember last year, this time, even national people, even while talking about last year's class of quarterbacks, they were already talking about this year's class of quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, you know, maybe this team will want to wait until next year where it's supposed to be a much stronger class of quarterbacks. Because I remember talking about that, just hearing from scouts and national people whatever it is, ESPN, NFL Network, that next year's class is a much stronger class. We didn't know anything about it, but you kept hearing that.
Well, you heard it on draft night when the Bills moved down, right? When they moved down, let the Chiefs get Pat Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, well, the quarterbacks are coming out in 2018. Mm-hmm. There have been no similar buzz about the 2019 quarterbacks yet. Here is David calling from Niagara Falls. Hello, David. Welcome.
Hey, John and Don. Just wanted to weigh in. I'm with Donald. I like Mayfield. I feel like if the top three quarterbacks are gone by in the top five picks, the one team I'm worried about is the Dolphins, and they're sitting at, I think, 11. So, you know, I'm not worried about the Colts getting the quarterback. Maybe we trade with Tampa, but I would try to make a trade where you won't have to give up that 22nd pick that we have this year. Maybe if we have to trade next year's first rounder, if it costs that, just so that we can jump on, get Mayfield, okay? And if we can keep that 22nd pick for, like, a playmaking wide receiver, well, I don't think Calvin Ridley will be there, but, like, a James Washington from OSU or Cortland Sutton, the real tall, physical freak athlete. And then somewhere later in the draft, I would try to draft a playmaking tight end. Maybe Mike Gesicki from Penn State, but I don't think he'll be available if we wait long. But, I mean, Charles Clay, he's been injured. He's been good, but he's been injured. And I would try to move Zay Jones in the slot, which is like a more natural fit for Zay Jones, barring his health and everything is okay. And if we get that first-round receiver with the quarterback, you know, be opposite of Calvin Benjamin. I just want to, you know, hear what you guys think about that.
Donald, what do you think? That's pretty extensive.
That was extensive.
Yes.
the gist of what he said, basically, try to get Baker Mayfield and then, what, try to get a receiver?
Receiver, yep. At 22.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. If you can get Baker Mayfield, if all the rest of those guys are gone, you're sitting there at 12, or even if you try to trade up, you can only get to a certain spot to get Baker Mayfield, and you feel comfortable enough with Baker Mayfield, take him and then take a receiver at 22, and I'd be fine with that.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take more calls, talk more about this. What's the Bills' strategy in the draft? If they can't get their guy, one of the top three quarterbacks anyway, what do they do at number 12? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll free 1-888-552-550. You all right with this?
4 weeks.
4 weeks from the draft, that's right. Kalen Clay, reportedly a Buffalo Bill again. We'll talk more about that. What about kickoffs? Another assault on kickoffs, the future of kickoffs in the NFL? We're coming up to talk about that in just a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Donald and I, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We're back at One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones here until 3 today. Thanks for tuning in. We got Greg Cosell coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll deal with some of the draft prospects, some quarterbacks, but also some of the others who have been linked to the Bills, at least in terms of visits and meetings so far, with Greg Cosell. Coming up at 2 o'clock, Andy Benoit from MMQB, one of the finest analysts out there when it comes to watching video and telling you what's going on. And look forward to talking with Andy Benoit coming up. I don't know if he was at the owners' meetings or not. I don't believe he was. He's probably crunching video up in Boise, Idaho. Where is he? Boise,
yeah. I didn't see him tweet anything from the owner's
meetings. No. 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Our Twitter poll today deals with the Bills in the scenario that they can't get one of the top three. Could happen, right? I mean, you have to consider it. We've gone through all week. You want to move up? Yes, you do. Who do you want to get if you move up? Okay. Now we're at, what if Darnold, Rosen, and Allen are off the board in the top five? What should the Bills do at number 12? That's our Twitter poll. We'll talk to you about it on the phone. On Twitter, 62% of you say trade up for Baker Mayfield. 22% of you say draft Lamar Jackson, the Louisville guy, at number 12. 16% say draft a non-quarterback at 12. How far do you have to trade up to get Baker Mayfield, Donald? We talked about that. Will he be there at 12? He could be.
He could be there at 12.
Are you willing? Here's the Bills question might be, do we like Baker Mayfield enough to trade up? They may not. They may not. They may say, hey, if he's there at 12, we'll consider him. They may not like him enough to give up assets. Huh?
Is that settling?
What do you mean? Does that bother me?
I mean,
no.
At that point, we like him enough. Well, we're comfortable.
Oh, is that settling for him?
Yeah, settling. Yeah.
A little bit.
I mean, if that's the case, we like him enough to take him at 12. There's probably quarterbacks back in the second round like a Luke Falk or one of those guys that you probably feel just as comfortable taking in the second round or something like that, you know, or a Lamar Jackson, one of those guys at 22. Or maybe they feel comfortable enough with taking Lamar Jackson at 12.
One of the questions will be, and I don't know if you could ever get Brandon Mee to answer it, but one of the questions will be, are you prepared to settle? If you don't get your premium quarterback that you have in your mind for the Buffalo Bills, are you prepared to settle for whomever? Is it Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, any of these guys? I don't know that he is. I mean, I would love to ask Brandon Bean that question. I don't know how much he would want to answer it, but right? That's a question.
Yeah.
Are you in so dire need of a quarterback that you will settle at number 12 or even move up and use assets to move up to get a quarterback? I don't know.
I don't know
that answer.
I don't think so. I don't think they want to settle on it because there's a certain value that you put on guys. And so there's a certain draft grade, a certain, let's just say, area of the first round you will be okay taking a guy. And I don't think Baker Mayfield, I don't know, I could be totally wrong, but they might feel like, well, we don't feel comfortable taking him at 12. If he was there at 22, maybe they do feel comfortable with that.
You're right.
You know, but number 12, nah, that's a little bit too high for Baker Mayfield. We didn't have him going that high.
We need answers.
We won't get that until draft night.
In the next month, we need plenty of answers. Here's a call from Bob in Perry, New York. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Fellas, how you doing today?
We're doing great.
Mm-hmm. Good. Everybody's got a question about Baker Mayfield's attitude. I can't imagine once he gets into a locker room of professional grown men, they don't sit the kid down and say, look at kid, this is how it works in the pros, and kind of keep any kind of attitude he might have in check. What do you think about that?
Well, Don, what do you think about that? You've been in NFL locker rooms.
Yeah, I've been in NFL locker rooms, and you have some leaders on this team that might do that. They might sit him down. I don't think they would sit him down. Maybe they will sit him down individually. Maybe they sit the entire rookie class down and talk to the entire rookie class, but really be talking to him. maybe they'll do that. Every locker room is different. For the most part, though, you would like to not have to deal with something like that, especially from your quarterback. But the facts are the facts, and somebody's going to have to do that. If he gets drafted in the first round, somebody's going to have to sit him down and say, look, this is what it is. And to be honest with you, if you see him slide, that chip on his shoulder is going to get bigger and bigger. And that's just what it is. If you see him start to slide, he's going to feel like – because Baker Mayfield has the mindset of – and every player has the mindset of, I'm the best one in this draft. But Baker Mayfield is a little more outspoken about his.
Mm-hmm.
And as if you see him slide, which I think he could be in danger of sliding. I think if he was to get past the Dolphins at number 11, you could really see him slide all the way back in the teens, maybe back into the 20s. And you can see a very upset Baker Mayfield, and you'll hear about it. At some point, whenever he does get drafted, you'll hear about it. And hopefully he doesn't he plays with that edge on the field, but you don't see him talk about it all the time.
Well, some teams, maybe the Bills, like that edge, right? Like that.
Oh, yeah.
I got a chip on my shoulder. I got something to prove.
But you still got to keep it under control.
Yeah, I get it.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah. Keep it under control. We want everybody to play with an edge. You got to play with an edge to play in this sport, in professional sports, period, but especially in football, and especially to be a quarterback. You got to have confidence. You got to play with that type of edge. You got to want to win. And I've been passed on. He's been passed over his entire life. He's a walk-on. And then transfer schools, had to go to Oklahoma, and then wins the Heisman Trophy. If he slides in the draft, it's not really going to be something that he's not used to. He's going to be used to being passed over. And so he's going to have the same edge, or maybe a little more of an edge, once he gets to whatever team, than he did at Oklahoma.
Hey, if you're listening or watching, don't be fooled that we are advocating for anybody in this draft, right? You've seen that on Twitter and some of the calls. We like him. We like him. No. I want a quarterback. I want a premium quarterback. If it were my choice, if the Bills can do it, I'd love to see Sam Darnold here. It may not be possible, but I'm not anti-Baker Mayfield. You've spoken a lot of positive things about him in the past, and there are negatives about him as well, just as there are with any of these guys. It's almost like people want to compel you to take a side. Who do you want? No, you're wrong. you got the wrong guy, right? Don't you get that sense?
They do. They want us to argue and go back and forth.
They want you and me to argue?
Yeah.
We do that about stuff like the Final Four. We don't.
Tomorrow, the Final Four show, the John Murphy show.
We can do a little segment tomorrow.
All right.
I got some thoughts. I can do a little research on Loyola Chicago versus Michigan.
I'm all Sister Jean.
I know that. I know who you are. I know. And I know why. That's what makes me mad.
Sister Jean's on my side.
Yeah. Let's go to Derek in Buffalo. Welcome to the show, Derek. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Great.
Good.
It's going really well.
I'm going to say I would like to see the Bills stay where they're at and go after Calvin Ridley. I'm a huge Alabama fan. I think of what they got going on with the Alabama OC and A.J. McCarron. I think you kind of bring in that Calvin Ridley and you kind of build that championship team out of the SEC, Alabama squad. I mean, you have A.J. McCarron, and Cincinnati Bengals were just like the Bills, where it's like based on a run first type offense. So he got to, he got to study behind Andy Dalton for those past 3 years, kind of learned their type of playbook. And you bring them into the Buffalo Bills, where we have that same type of playbook as Cincinnati did, and he got to all that knowledge and learning from Dalton. I think it could make a huge jump for us.
Yeah, that's funny. I'm not sure why I haven't put that together yet. You know, the Brian Daboll coming up from Alabama, Calvin Ridley from Alabama, sitting there at number 12. If you're not able to get up there into the top, whatever, to get a quarterback, and you're sitting there at number 12, and he's still on the board. I mean, we know this coaching staff likes to bring guys in that they trust, guys that they know, that they've worked with in the past. And that could make perfect sense for them. Like Calvin Ridley coming up from an offense where Brian Daboll knows him. He just had him last year. That can make perfect sense for the Bills.
Thanks for your calls. We're going to get back to your calls in a moment. I want to talk about this, Donald, that the owners' meetings in Orlando yesterday. Mark Murphy, president of the Green Bay Packers, great guy, Clarence, New York native. Mark Murphy, member of the competition committee, quoted as saying this on kickoffs. If we don't make changes to make them safer, we're going to do away with it. It's that serious. It is by far the most dangerous play in the game, kickoffs. The NFL may be moving towards eliminating kickoffs altogether. There's a reason. It's injuries. And Murphy talked about this. Mark Murphy said it's the most dangerous play in the game. The data, concussions are 5 times more likely to occur on kickoffs than any other plays. They even, the new touchback rule, right? The touchback start at the 25.
Right.
Even with that rule, concussions are up. In 2015, the touchback rate was 56%. Last year, 2 years later, the touchback rate 60%, 60.4. Mark Murphy said, we've reduced the number of returns, but we haven't done anything to make the play safer. And they even find that there's kickoffs or concussions, injuries occurring on the touchbacks. And that's what Mark Murphy said. That's frustrating, concussions on touchbacks. The competition committee is looking at what you can do to make sure people are aware that there's not even a return. You see this. One player lets up. The player covering lets up. One of the blockers comes over. He's going full speed, and you have problems. Could kickoffs be eliminated in the National Football League? Mark Murphy, president of the Packers, says, yeah, we're moving in that direction. Some people think it might not happen this year. It's kind of late this year, but down the line, maybe not too far out, they would eliminate kickoffs in the NFL. I'd hate to see it. It's a tremendously exciting play. It's a full field play. But I get it. They're concerned about injuries. What do you make of all that? Did you play kickoffs?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I made
coverage?
The team.
Yeah.
I was a gunner, and I was on kickoff return, and I was on kickoff. I was a number two on kickoff making plays, And did I have to run into wedges and things like that? Yeah, I did. Then they split it up where you couldn't have a four-man wedge.
Right.
Now you have a lot of kicks through the back of the end zone.
Right.
I think the NFL, they keep making these rule changes, like things like this. I mean, extreme rule changes where you're changing the overall basis of football, they will start to lose viewers. I think they will find themselves in danger of truly losing viewers, and truly we talk about the ratings going down and things like that. I mean, if they really enforce this helmet-to-helmet rule that we talked about yesterday that Lorenzo was so upset about, that's one thing. You do something like eliminate kickoffs because there's too many injuries, people are going to say, I am tired of the NFL. Like, why do they keep doing things? Like, this is football. Guys know what they're signing up for. At some point, you know what you signed up for. So if you You want to, and people want to see hits. They do. That's just the nature. That's why people watch football. They want to see the hits. They want to see the big plays and touchdowns and all that too. But hits are a part of football. There comes a point where injuries are going to happen. And so you can't just eliminate the overall basis of the game, you know, what the game really started on. Things like kickoff. Come on. I mean, there are guys that make a living doing that.
I know.
There are guys that make a living doing that. I got this this text from Lorenzo yesterday. He wanted me to point this out. He was like, if y'all talk about it again tomorrow, I forgot.
We talked to Lorenzo about the helmet. The helmet yesterday. He was great, by the way. If you missed that, just let me plug this. Go to our website, buffalobills.com. Look for the Lorenzo Alexander segment from our show yesterday. When he talked about the new rule about helmet hits and possible ejection, he was fantastic about that. I told him that today.
Well, I got this message at 3:11 yesterday. So right off we
PM.
Got
–
PM.
Okay.
As soon as we got off air, basically. 10 minutes after we got off air, he sent me this. He said, if y'all talk about it again tomorrow, I forgot to mention in my heated rant, the NFL was so worried about player safety – why are players consistently sent back on to the field of play with a concussion, which we've seen, you know, we've seen a few instances that this year with that different team sending guys back out there on the field. And then he said, why do only 46 players dress? You know, when the NFL is worried so much about the injuries, then have more guys on the roster, you know, and then you don't have to have guys because – at the end of the day, when you have 46 players dressing, that means you have guys that have to do multiple things.
Yeah.
And so have more guys on the roster where this is your job, and you have other guys, this is your job, and you don't have to have guys do so many different things on Sundays because you wear down by the end of the season. You do start to see injuries. Things like this, taking the kickoff out of the game, that to me just it doesn't make sense. It's football. It's going to happen.
Kickoffs are, look, you're right. It's the essence of the game, really, and it's full field. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like a 6-yard run play that might be a great play with some great individual effort. It's the full field in play, which I think makes kickoffs amazing amazing to watch as a spectator. I think the NFL would lose a lot. They've already taken them out a lot with the touchback rule.
With the touchback rule, yeah. So when you get an opportunity, it's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Especially if it's somebody dynamic,
yeah.
This guy can return it. And if he does return it, I mean, people love to see the kickoff returns for touchdowns. If you take that out and now you just, we're just going to give you the ball on the 25. I mean, come on. Now they get the ball. What if you do actually kick the ball the right way and you do tackle a guy inside the 10? Now they just get the ball on the 20, on the 25? I mean, I think they're going too far with some of these rules.
Well, somebody pointed out on Twitter, I can't find it, but it's an interesting point. You need some sort of mechanism if you take kickoffs out for a team that's trailing late in the game behind trying to catch up. Typically that team would have an onside kickoff. You're going to have some sort of mechanism.
Right.
I mean, all right, so we're down by 10. We score a touchdown. We're down by 3. There's a minute left to play. You get the ball at the 25-yard line. Really? We can't try an onside kick?
Exactly.
Right?
So you take that out. And that right there, I mean, you talk about kickoffs being dangerous. Onside kicks are dangerous too because there's the guys in the front line. If you're the receiving team of an onside kick, if you're the guy on the front line, your job is to go hit somebody. And the guys that are running down, there are, if you have 5 guys to one side, there are a couple of guys on that side. His job is to take out the front guy on the line. And then the next guy coming down is to go get the football. So that's a dangerous play too. And that's right there. You're talking about taking away onside kicks, taking away kickoffs when guys make a living doing this stuff. And guys for a long time, forever, have made livings in this league doing that stuff. I think it's too much to try to take out the kickoff.
All right. Just want to get that in there. We'll talk more about quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, his pro day. We'll talk about that when we come back. John Murphy, Donald Jones. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we're going to talk with Greg Cosell from the NFL Network. Greg Cosell, rather, from ESPN's NFL matchup. That's what I was trying to say. Greg Cosell from NFL Films. He'll be with us at 1. But in the meantime, let's hear from you. What should the Bills do if they're premium quarterback targets are gone at number 12 in the draft 1 month from today? 803-0550, the number to call. Outside Buffalo, it's toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
I Welcome back to the show. I know it's time to go. I'm busy. I'm just trying to make you laugh, Donald. I am.
Terrible. Our producers in there are like, Q, go.
Still busy. Let's take a few phone calls. We're talking about what do the Bills do if their top three targets for quarterback are gone by the time they get to their 12th pick where they sit right now. 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Let's go to a call here from Tom. Tom, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, John, Don, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. First and foremost, our thoughts and prayers are with Jim Kelly and his family. The doctor sounded really upbeat, the surgeon, when he spoke about it, and I think Jim's going to beat this. Like you said, he is a warrior. And now on to Baker Mayfield. He's been my guy from day one. The Bills should bend over backwards to try to get this guy. I think he's our man. And in addition to that, the rule about kickoff, part of me agrees with Don and part of me disagrees. Why don't they make it an option at the beginning of the season? And each team can sign on or sign off on what they want to do. Either take the ball in 25 or have the option to run it back. It is a dangerous game. There's no doubt about it. And injuries are going to happen one way or the other. And one other thing, John, Don, I cannot understand the fans that want to stay put. It strains credulity to wonder where they're coming from. That's pretty much it, guys. Have a great day.
Okay. Thank you. You mean stay put in the draft. I get it. I think some fans are, worried that the Bills might pick the wrong guy. I think you have to be bolder than that. I really do. I think some fans might, genuinely not like any of the quarterback options that are there. And some fans might like the fact that, you got six picks in the first 100 or less, that you can get some good players, multiple players in that. So I understand. I don't poke holes in anybody's wishes as to how this might go down with the draft. I do want people to be realistic, though, when it comes to moving up or doing anything. And we've got a month here. There's time for the Bills to make a move. They might have to make two moves to get up where they need to be.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is to be realistic and understand how much it's going to take for them to get up there. Even if it's in two moves, it's going to take a lot to get up there. So for those who think, it doesn't matter. If you get your franchise quarterback, then, you can build a team around them next year with all of the money that you'll have. And, but this organization, they'll bring in some guys through free agency, but they like to build out through the draft. And I also feel like they're going to have parameters on what they want to give up. And if they feel like it's getting to be too much, then they'll just sit put. And we'll all have to sit put till number 12 on draft night.
If they sit put, I heard Howard and Jeremy this morning talking about if the Bills don't get a quarterback in the first round, how disappointed they would be, how disappointed fans would be. I know people might be a little bit let down, but we talked about this. The goodwill and the capital built up by Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, I think, will carry him through that. I do think most Bills fans think these guys know what they're doing. They have a plan. We're a month away. I'm anticipating they'll be able to get something done. But if they can't, I don't know that fans will be, rioting and just picketing and burning down houses anything.
Yeah, I think fans,
they're trying to get there. You can't always do what you want.
People will be upset, and then you'll be upset and you'll get over it. Let's just say that. You'll get over it because I think so many people do have the confidence in Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, And I think people understand that they're going to try to get up there to get a quarterback. But they also understand that these guys are not just going to give up the entire farm to get up there to get one. If they have enough conviction, we're going to try it. But we're not going to give everything up to try to get up there early enough to get one of those top three or top four quarterbacks. And so I think people at that point will just say, all right, we got to just let them do what they do. And hopefully whoever they pick up in the draft will end up being a starter or being a good player for us in years to come. If they trade up there to get a quarterback, I think people will be happy. Some people will be upset. If they don't, you'll have some people that are okay with it. You have some that aren't. But at the end of the day, everybody will get over it.
There's a month to go.
Mm-hmm.
Fasten your seatbelt.
I got to
tell myself that.
Once the draft gets here, whatever happens, it's going to be a bunch of months before we can actually see it play out on the field. You know, so, I mean, people are going to be upset until September, regardless of what way they go.
Is this the biggest draft since you've been around the Bills, do you think, Donald, that you recall?
Yeah.
I do, too.
I think it's the biggest draft because of multiple reasons. They ended the drought last year and got to the playoffs, which is something this city has not seen in a long time, obviously 18 years. They ended the drought and got into the playoffs. So now people have the confidence in the coaches and the general manager to do the right stuff. You hear it all the time when people call up. I have faith in these guys now. I feel like they know what they're doing. They have a plan and they're sticking to it. So because they ended the drought, it's like the expectations have gone up a little bit. And I don't think you really had true expectations in this city for a long time here. It's just like, man, maybe this is the year that you end the drought. Now it's like, oh, we made it last year. We want to be better. We want to really be better this year. So then you have all of this draft capital, you know. And
all of these quarterbacks in this draft.
And all of these quarterbacks in this draft. So when you kind of compile all that stuff together, this is probably the biggest draft that I've been around since I've been.
Yeah, me too. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk with Greg Cosell when we return. Executive producer, analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN, senior producer at NFL Films. Talk about some quarterbacks with him, but also some of the other players who have met with the Bills, worked out for the Bills, linked a little bit to the Bills, some of the other players in this draft. It's not just all quarterbacks. Greg Cosell when we come back. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. Donald and I coming back to One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive, where the Buffalo Bills a little bit busy still in free agency. Reports are the Bills are ready to announce very shortly that they've signed wide receiver Kalen Clay back to the roster. Bills traded for him last September around Labor Day, then let him go October 23rd. Kalen Clay reportedly ready to sign a new deal with the Buffalo Bills, a wide receiver with speed. A couple of free agent visits reported to the Buffalo Bills, including defensive end Terrence Fidey, who played his college football at Marist College and spent a couple of years with the Miami Dolphins. Fidey, 6'4", 267-pounder, defensive end, kind of an edge guy. Terrence Fidey reportedly visiting with the Bills. Last week it was reported that former Chiefs cornerback Philip Gaines would visit the Bills. That visit reportedly is going on today. Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly underwent a complicated 12-hour surgery last night in New York to remove oral cancer and reconstruct his upper jaw. The doctor, Mark Erkin, said, "We have successfully removed the cancer and lymph nodes from his neck. Mr. Kelly resting comfortably and is post-operative. Kelly expected to be in the hospital for about 2 weeks and will be screened again in about 3 months. New York Giants have asked for at least two first-round picks in return for Odell Beckham Jr., according to ESPN, even though the team insists it is not shopping the three-time Pro Bowl wide receiver. GM Dave Gettleman of the Giants addressed the speculation about Beckham earlier this week, saying that he was not available, refusing to directly say he was not available in the trade, but also saying you do not quit on talent. NFL reportedly is going to explore removing kickoffs from the game. Hockey tonight, the Buffalo Sabres, Casey Mittelstadt ready to make his NHL debut as the Sabres home against the Detroit Red Wings. 7 o'clock faceoff at KeyBank Center. Opening day in baseball, the Cubs. Ian Happ had a home run on the first pitch of the new season. Cubs lead it 3-0 in the first inning of their game at Miami. One other game ongoing right now in Major League Baseball, the Cardinals and the Mets in New York. Pirates and Tigers have been postponed to Friday. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline to help us make sense of some of the prospects in the draft, including the quarterbacks. Happy to have Greg Cosell on the line, executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN, senior producer for NFL Films, making his regular weekday visit with us today on Thursday. Greg, thank you very much. We should note the Bills have made it official. They've signed Kalen Clay. That announcement coming out moments ago, and we're going to have Kalen Clay on the show here in about 25 minutes. Do you have any thoughts on Kalen Clay? Do you remember him at all, Greg, from your earlier film study?
Not a ton. I mean, you know, I think they're at the point where they're looking for competition at wide receiver. So I think that anybody they sign has an opportunity.
Yeah.
But I don't remember his specific traits particularly.
I threw a,
well,
a curveball there. He came out a couple of years ago, played a little bit with Carolina and the Baltimore Ravens,
yep,
and a little bit with the Bills.
Carolina.
Yeah. Played with the Bills for 4 games last year.
Hey, Greg, I got a couple questions. First one, before we get into Bills talk, Odell Beckham Jr., you hear the Giants say they would like to get, you know, two first-rounders for Odell Beckham. Talent-wise, is he worth two first-rounders? I know a lot of people feel like he's one of the best in the game, but talent-wise, is he worth two first-rounders?
I mean, I would say probably the position is not worth two first rounders. He's a really good player. Unfortunately, a lot of the other stuff takes away from the fact that he's really good. He's definitely a top three receiver in the game. I think you'd probably, when he's healthy, have to go with Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and Odell Beckham. Maybe I'm missing someone, but I think those three would probably be at the top of a lot of lists. So he's certainly a great, great player. The question is the position worth two first-round picks? And that's my guess is not, but I guess we'll find out.
All right, well, thank you for that. We're going to get into another position, though. Last week, or was that 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago when we were talking about linebackers.
We were talking about linebackers because we try to talk about other positions outside the quarterback position. I think we're still going to talk about quarterback with you today, though. It's just we can't help ourselves. But we were talking about linebackers, and I brought up a small school kid. And this is a kid, a linebacker out of South Carolina State, a small HBCU down there in South Carolina, Darius Leonard. And from what I hear, you had a chance to go watch him on film.
I did, and I really liked him on film. I mean, I think he's got size, he's got length, he's got really easy movement, he's fast, he's explosive. You know, I've done this for a long time, so I rarely say that I think a guy is great because they're all prospects to me. Mm-hmm. It's hard, you know, a guy's coming out of college, he's a prospect. He's not an NFL player yet. But I think that this guy is a high-level prospect who could become a really, really good three-down linebacker. I really liked him on tape.
Now, how easy or hard is it for you when you watch tape of guys coming from smaller schools? Because, obviously, they're going to stand out on film compared to everybody else.
Well, I think there are certain things you look at that impact you, and you have to then be careful. Like, for instance, when offensive linemen are working up to the second level to block him, the offensive linemen that are doing that are obviously not the same caliber at, let's say, high major college football or certainly the NFL. So you do take something like that into account. But I'm looking, too, at his movement traits. I'm looking at the way he moves, short area quickness, short area movement. Then you look at the way he flips his hips. You look at the way he accelerates. You look at his range, his play speed, how he plays inside out, sideline to sideline. I think those things you can look at separate from the level of competition.
Hey, Greg, I want to ask you about your use of the word prospects, because this is important. You know, you can imagine we get calls, people have quarterback people in mind. Some people like to say, well, the Bills should wait down to the second or third round, get one of these other quarterbacks. And I understand that, and that's a strategy. I know that. But can you tell us how prospects become higher rated than others? And you do this work with video also. In other words,
right.
How is the Richmond quarterback different from Sam Darnold in terms of prospect evaluation? How does he become maybe a second-tier prospect as opposed to one of these top guys?
Well, then it's the same thing in some ways that I was just talking about with Leonard. It comes down to an evaluation of traits because people have a sense at every position of what they call critical factors, traits, what they think works at the NFL level. And some are transcendent in the sense that they fit any scheme. Obviously, if you feel that a quarterback throws the ball really well, that's going to transcend any scheme. Others, positionally, are based on scheme. You know, if you're looking at a corner and you feel that his traits lend themselves better to playing press man, but your foundation is a lot of off-coverage zone, you might not look at that corner as being as good for you as he might be for another team. So it starts with traits, attributes, characteristics, and that's the difference, Murph, between scouts and coaches. Scouts are looking at measurables and traits. I don't want to say they're looking in a vacuum, but they're looking at traits. Coaches think about adaptability to scheme because, you know, Sean McDermott knows what defense he runs. He knows what traits work within the context of his defense. Same with when people evaluate quarterbacks. You know, John Gruden evaluates a quarterback in the context of what offense he's going to run. That would be different than how, let's say, someone like Mike Martz would evaluate a quarterback. So you start with the basic traits, attributes, characteristics of a player that you believe would allow him to be successful or perhaps not successful, and then you try to fit it into a scheme.
Okay, good answer. And people, I think, need to hear that and understand that. Today, we were watching a little bit earlier, Donald and I, the pro day for Lamar Jackson down in Louisville. You've studied him. What do you see there, and what kind of traits does he bring to the NFL, would you think?
Yeah, and he'll be a fascinating discussion, which I think we're getting more and more into with each passing year. We're getting into that discussion with quarterbacks of the balance between efficient pocket play versus second reaction improvisational ability. As you know, Murph, because, you know, you and I, we've been doing this a long time, you know, 20, 25 years ago, there wasn't really a big discussion about guys making plays outside the pocket. Right. That wasn't something that was viewed as a meaningful part of the NFL game. Quarterbacks were big drop-back quarterbacks, and that's where they threw the ball, from the pocket. Now the game has changed, where people look at a Russell Wilson and they or an Aaron Rodgers, and they see the ability to make plays outside of structure, make plays that are what we call second reaction plays, improvisational plays. So everybody looks at the balance a little bit differently. People will throw out, you know, statements. Well, you still have to throw from the pocket. Well, that's an easy thing to say. But then a lot of people in the next breath will say, but you have to make plays outside the pocket. So where do you fall on that line? I think for a lot of people, Lamar Jackson is sort of the poster child right now for that, because we know what he can do with his legs. We know he's spectacular. He brings that dimension with his legs. So the question then becomes, how do you see him as a pocket quarterback? Can he be efficient enough from the pocket to where he can line up and be your starting quarterback?
Greg, I just wonder now with, and you look at the Eagles, and I feel like we've been doing this a lot more, and it's not just the Eagles. We're talking about that run play option that the Eagles were running a lot of this year that really got a lot of press, especially once we got into the playoffs. But teams have been doing that really since, I mean,
for
a while.
Everybody does that.
Yeah, everybody does it. So it seems like the NFL teams are now adapting to these more mobile quarterbacks, where we go ahead, we can fake the dive and then throw a quick slant or throw a bubble, and just really getting the ball into the hands of the playmakers, which then allows right. you to not have to necessarily draft that pocket, just stand in the pocket type of quarterback.
Well, the other issue with that, Donald, and it's a great point, and it's something that I've really taken note of over the last number of years, because I watch so much NFL tape and then I dive in and watch so much college tape, is one of the reasons that teams now are doing a lot more of, whether you want to call them RPOs or whatever system you're running, where there's a ton more of backfield action mm-hmm. than there used to be in the game. What a lot of this does, it creates misdirection and deception for the defense. It puts the defense in conflict. And therefore, what it does for quarterbacks is it defines the throws much more easily. So when people used to say, well, that's not an NFL offense, you know, he's going to have to learn all the progression reads in an NFL offense. Well, many NFL offenses are changing to a large extent where it's not those deep progression reads. Not all of them, and you need to do that at times. But overall, you're seeing a lot more of these kinds of systems now in the NFL, where it really, really helps the quarterback, and therefore they can acclimate and transition more quickly to the NFL, because the reads are defined due to all the misdirection and deception elements that are now part and parcel of offense.
So you'd have to believe Lamar Jackson can play in that type of offense, and the fact that he does have legs makes him a lot more dangerous, because with misdirection, you don't know if he's going to run out the backside of that thing or something like that. So that
correct.
Misdirection really can hurt a defense. The biggest question is, and this is for you, Greg, as you watch film of Lamar Jackson, when you watch him on film, is he growing through progression at all? Is he accurate when he's throwing the ball? You watch his pro day, he missed some throws. What do you see out of him actually throwing the ball on film?
Yeah, well, he's one of those. First of all, Bobby Petrino's offense, the pass game concepts, there's a ton of NFL pass game concepts. Mm. So for the people who say that Jackson has to learn NFL pass games, that's not true. There's a ton of pass game concepts. Now, there are of NFL concepts. Now, there are certain things that Jackson does well and certain things he doesn't do well. He was actually very good throwing the ball between the numbers. He actually made some very good tight window throws between the hashes versus zone coverage. He did that extremely well. He does not throw the ball well to the outside the numbers. Now, he's also kind of a short arm thrower, Donald. His delivery is not really smooth and natural because he kind of lacks a firm base, and that creates accuracy issues. That's going to have to be worked on and ideally cleaned up. And it limits what at times can be a very lively arm. But he needs a lot of work in a lot of areas. But I think a lot of quarterbacks coming out do. You're projecting. You're drafting a guy based on what he can become. I would say the same thing about Sam Darnold. You're drafting Sam Darnold on not what his tape at USC shows, on what he can become based on your assessment of his traits.
We're on the line with Greg Cosell. He is executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN, senior producer at NFL Films for some 38 years. I want to ask you about a couple of others, Greg. Another quarterback, actually, who you hear about down the line a little bit, Washington State quarterback Luke Falk. The Bills reportedly met with him at a pro day earlier this spring. What do you know about him? What do you see from him?
Yeah, I watched him.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think of Luke Falk?
To be honest with you, I struggled a little bit on with him on tape. I think he's a little slow-footed. I think that the term I use, people like to talk decision-making, the term I use is I think he struggles to eliminate and isolate quickly enough, and that's an offense where you should be able to do that because that's Mike Leach and the air raid offense. I think he has a tendency to drift in the pocket. I think as many air raid quarterbacks do, he needs to be reworked. He needs to almost be, and I'm talking from scratch. You have to start with the basic stuff, his footwork, his balance, his drop. I'm not saying he can never be a good NFL quarterback, but I think he's the kind of guy that you would draft in a later round with the idea that maybe 3 years down the line, he could be a starting quarterback in this league.
You know, Greg, you've had a chance to watch a lot of different quarterback play, and people ask us about Mason Rudolph. Have you had a chance to watch him on film at all?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of Mason Rudolph? Is he a first-round prospect in your eyes or more of a second-round type of guy?
To me, again, I don't think he's a first-round player. I think he's a guy that's going to be somewhat polarizing. There's a lot to like about him. I mean, I could recite the things that I like. He's got prototypical size. He looks the part. He plays with a relatively refined sense of timing. I think he's got the mentality of a pocket quarterback, and I watched a lot of him, Donald, because there's a lot to like, as I said, but the more I watched when I evaluate the complete body of work, and I actually watched him last summer too from the year before, I just don't think he looks like a high level enough passer. And essentially he's a pocket quarterback. So I know a lot of people like him. I think some people view him as a first round pick. He could be taken there. We know how quarterbacks go. But I don't think the arm strength is quite there. I don't think the accuracy is quite consistent enough. Another guy that I think, if you like him, I think you're hoping he can become a Matt Ryan kind of quarterback. Maybe you think he can become a Kirk Cousins. The question is he Bryce Petty? You know, I think that there's a wide range with Mason Rudolph, and there will be a lot of people that smart, reasonable people will disagree on Mason Rudolph.
I want to ask you about some non-quarterbacks, Greg, because it's not all about the quarterbacks. We, Donald, have to slap ourselves every once in a while and say it's not about all about quarterbacks. The Bills reportedly met with LSU running back Darius Juice at the Combine. Pretty talented back. What do you know about him? What do you see from him?
Oh, that kid's fun to watch. He's an eye back. He's got really good natural quickness. He's got short area burst and explosion, and he runs like he means it. I mean, he's an urgent, aggressive, decisive downhill runner. You almost have to go back to 2016 because he was hurt a lot in 2017. He really didn't start to look like himself until the Ole Miss game in 2017, but he's got really good contact balance. He's got natural power. If you really like him, you can sort of conjure up in your mind, and you'll remember him very well because he started with you guys. He'll conjure up thoughts of Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of that urgent, aggressive, physical, violent style runner.
Now, another running back out of San Diego State who has set some records out there on the West Coast is running back out of San Diego – out of San Diego State, Rashad Penny. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I've watched him too, and to be honest with you, I liked him the first couple of games I watched. I kept watching more and more. I think he's a very methodical runner. He's a measured rhythm runner. I think he's a volume runner. In other words, if you draft him, he's not a 7 or 8 carry a game guy. You need to give him the ball. He needs to develop a feel. I think he's got good vision. I think he's got some quickness, some acceleration. I think... The question with him overall is whether he's that guy. In other words, are his skills and traits strong enough to give him the ball 18, 19 times a game? because the more I watched him, the more I thought he was a good back with some strong traits, but not special. And what stood out the more carries I watched was I didn't think he consistently broke tackles and ran through contact. And I think if you're going to be a foundation back, you need to be able to do that with consistency.
You know, Greg, it's hard here because the Bills fans are now used to having, you know, you had Fred Jackson. Now you have LeSean McCoy, right? These three down type of guys. Any of these guys, any of these running backs, outside of the number one running back who we think will end up in the top five, but outside of him, which one of these guys could be a true three-down back in the next couple of years?
Well, the guy I particularly like, I like Sony Michel of Georgia. I think he can be that guy personally. I really like his the way he runs. He's got good size. So to me, he's that guy. He obviously didn't line up outside, let's say, the way Alvin Kamara did at Tennessee, but I think that he's capable of that. And I think, you know, he's one of the best running back prospects in this draft class. And I think particularly if you're going to run a lot of zone scheme stuff, I think he would really, really be good. And I like Sony Michel.
Greg, I was thinking about the comments you made earlier about traits and how coaches come in and look for fits. Seems to me running back might be the position that most exemplifies that, right? Teams, coaches probably in particular, say, I need a back who can do this. And there's a wide variety, right? Maybe more than any other position.
Well, I think it starts with this, Murph. I think that depending on the coaching staff, the offensive coordinator, the O-line coach, most teams either foundationally will start with the zone run game or the gap scheme run game where the guard pulls. And usually there's a foundation there. Now, that doesn't mean that a team that starts with the zone as its foundation never runs a gap scheme play ever, but normally there's a foundation. And there are backs who clearly some are better running gap scheme and some are better running zone, depending on the back's traits. And you have to make that determination and evaluation when you study a back. So if you're a zone running based team, if that's your starting point, you don't want to draft a back that you don't think can do that particular thing well, just because maybe other people like him. You have to decide if he fits with his traits and attributes, if he fits that zone scheme.
Hey, Greg, Donald asked you about Rashad Penny at San Diego State. When the guys, last couple guys we've thrown at you, the Bills have been linked to them in terms of meetings. Penny, they had a private meeting with him recently, the last couple of weeks, reportedly. What should we infer from that, and what do you think goes on at those meetings that might lead us in the direction of that's a guy the Bills are interested in?
Well, I think if you're going to take the time to meet with a guy, then you're interested in him because there's just limited amounts of time, and particularly if you're going to bring a guy into your building, because I think you only get 30 of those, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for instance, I feel that Penny, to me, and maybe their staff feels differently, I thought he would profile best in a run game whose foundation was more gap scheme, where they pull. Because I think he needs to be, in a sense, told to go downhill as opposed to sort of work laterally, perhaps, and then figure out where the gap is based on what he sees. But that's my evaluation of him. They may see him differently. But ultimately, if you're going to meet with a guy privately, then you obviously think that he has value for what you do. Now, the other thing about Penny, which will help him probably get drafted at decently, is he was very good on special teams as a return man, and that never hurts a guy's value.
Yeah, we got another new offensive coordinator here. We don't know what kind of run game they're
running. Yeah, we have no clue what they're running.
They kind of did. It was a work in progress last year. The Bills run offense from week one compared to where they were week 15, 16.
Yeah,
totally different.
Totally
look.
Different.
Who knows what it'll look like?
Zone to straight more man.
Yeah.
And what it sounds like, the way the Bills ended up would fit Rashad Penny's game.
Yeah, because it started zone and it became more gap scheme, man concepts. And to me, that fits Penny's game more. But with Brian Daboll, you know, it's hard to know because obviously he ran kind of a modified spread a little bit at Alabama with their quarterback. So it's hard to know exactly.
Yep. Well, we got a month to go. We'll talk to you more in the next month or so. Greg, thank you very much for being with us here today. Have a great weekend.
Guys, I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks. Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst, NFL matchup on ESPN, senior producer at NFL Films. They meet with, as Greg said, they can bring 30 in, mm-hmm. and they meet with guys on campus sites as well. And, you know, we're just reading tea leaves here, right?
Yeah.
Those meetings, do they mean much? I don't know. They got to mean something, right?
They mean that they mean that they're interested in a guy. Sometimes, because, as Greg pointed out, you don't have enough time to meet with everybody.
Right.
So sometimes you might have some interest in a guy. Sometimes you might need some questions answered. And so you'll bring a guy in that you haven't had enough time to speak to in another time, whether it's the combine, whether it's at his pro day or something like that, maybe because he was speaking to other teams. But if you are meeting with a guy, you do have some interest in that guy.
Yeah. Sometimes, and I've heard of this, they will meet with the guy to ask him about a teammate or somebody else that they're almost more interested in.
They do it. They do it like that. It's crazy. You know, hey, what do you think about so-and-so?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there like, huh?
This is about me.
Yeah, like, did you guys bring me in here just for that?
Hey, the Bills have a new wide receiver, a new old wide receiver. Kalen Clay is back. He's going to join us when we return. Come on back for that. John Murphy, Donald Jones, John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show, and again, our thanks to Greg Cosell joining us a day early. He's got a wedding in his family this weekend, so we moved him up to Thursday. Always great to talk with Greg. John Murphy, Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio. We'll get back to our Twitter poll and our questions and comments about quarterbacks because we know everybody wants to talk about that. But the Bills made a move at wide receiver today, bringing back wide receiver Kalen Clay, who was with them at the start of last season. Kalen Clay joining us in the studio right now. Welcome, Kalen. Welcome back to Buffalo.
Glad to be here. Glad to be back. I'm excited, and I'm ready to get to work. So
it's a little different outside than it was last September 2nd when you were brought here in a trade, right? Weather-wise,
yes, sir. It is. It's a little colder here, it's but cold. You know, you learn to love it.
Yeah.
Don't complain about the weather. I'm telling you, people will come at you for it.
The voice of experience on that. Kalen, you came here a year ago. It was cutdown day, I think, right, when the Bills made a trade. They sent Kevon Seymour to Carolina and traded for you on cutdown day.
Yeah, and it's a crazy story. Is me and Kevon, we kind of know each other from our backgrounds
in
Southern California. Yeah. So we did end up swapping, and, I was here and ended up, leaving. But now I'm back, and, I'm excited. I'm ready to get to work. I'm ecstatic, I think a great team. So now it's just time to get to work, start rebuilding.
Did you talk to Kevon that day when you got traded?
I didn't.
No?
I actually
like,
didn't.
Hey, man, no. He just flipped it. So what you ask him, what's good up going on up there in Buffalo? He like, what's going on down there in Charlotte?
Nah, we didn't talk. I didn't actually talk to Kevon until I had actually went back to Charlotte.
Did you go back to Carolina? Kevon, I'll tell you this, Donald knows this, one of my favorite players of the last few years here. Just a
good
wonderful
dude.
Guy.
Yeah. Really
he's
guy.
He's a great person, man. Yeah. Great family guy.
Yep.
I have nothing bad to say about the guy, man. He's a great kid.
Tell me about that day, cutdown day last year. I think it was September 2nd. Were you sweating out the cutdown in Carolina when the trade happened, or how did what was your mental state going into that?
No, because I felt like I had did enough to at least get a roster spot.
Yeah.
But and I did. I did enough to get a roster spot, but then, 2 hours later, I got a phone call and said I had been traded. So, it just comes with the business, man. You can't be too worried about it. You just have to go out there and, prepare yourself to the best of your abilities and let the rest take care of itself.
What's it like what's that feeling like when you get traded? I mean, most of us know what it's like to get cut.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get traded to another team, is there a different feeling?
For me, I was kind of lost around it. I was like trying to figure out, did I do something wrong? Mm-hmm. Am I not wanted? But then I had to think about it. Well, I am wanted because somebody traded for me. And, that's just how I took it. I took it and ran with it, Just let the business be the business and you take care of what you can take care of as being a player.
You were wanted by people who knew you a little bit, right? Coach McDermott, Brandon Bean, some of the others. You had been with them in Carolina previously.
Yeah, I had been with Joe, KB, and then Bean had signed me before coming here. And so some of the guys I had already knew, like Leonard. So I knew what the locker room was about. I knew what the coaches were about, and I wanted to be a part of that.
And how important is that for you as a free agent when you get traded to go somewhere where you really know guys? I remember leaving here going to New England. I didn't know anybody, and it was a total different feeling in that building and everything.
Yeah, because you start from the ground up, so you got to kind of build those relationships and – You know, it's not a bad thing, but, you know, when you go into an organization where you know someone, it makes it a little bit more easier for you to maneuver.
Kalen Clay, our guest, Bills receiver, just signed to the roster today. My recollection is that, you know, the Bills opened the opener against the Jets. Did you play in that game?
No, I was inactive that game.
The next week, though, at Carolina, you did play and had some return work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. Didn't go how I wanted it to go, but you know what? You take those strides, man, you learn from them, and then that's how you grow and become a great player. So that's all I'm trying to do is just, you know, become a great player. And, you know, help this team win games.
Did you get many offensive snaps? Most of the work you did here in Buffalo was return
work. I didn't
get
many of them. It was mainly special teams. But, you know, like I said, you work your way up, you know, and that's what I'm trying to do, just work my way up and gain the trust of the coaches and my players.
Now, as we talk about, you got traded. You came in late in the game trying to learn the offense, play at the same time, be a very good player. Obviously, you were on special teams. Mm-hmm. But now you get a full offseason with the new offensive coordinator. Everybody's kind of on a blank slate, so that has to be good for you.
Which is key, and that was really one of the reasons why I wanted to come here. You know, it's a fresh start, you know, great program, but there was an opportunity for me to come in and, you know, from day one, you know, learn the playbook from front to back and establish myself in this offense and a great offense with Coach Dables, you know, and what he's about. And the talent that we have in that room. So I wanted to be a part of that and, you know, help us win games.
Kalen, by midseason last year, the Bills let you go. They had some issues at corner, let you go. And then you got picked up going back to Carolina. What was that like? Did you feel like, oh, yeah, this
maybe they did want me. I don't know. What is going on here?
You know, it was crazy. You know, I was – at the time I was going through, I had just had a daughter. I just got released. And, you know, I just at the time I wanted a team to just bring me back in and so I can just, you know, show them that I know that I can play in the NFL and do the things that I'm capable of doing. And so, you know, it was kind of a whirlwind for me. But like I said, you just got to let the business be the business and you got to just take care of your business on the field.
A lot of return work for the Panthers again when you got there, including the touchdown, punt return touchdown against the Jets. Tell us about that play.
Oh, man, it was, you know. It was crazy. It's kind of crazy because I didn't even know I was going to hit the spin move. And, you know, I ended up hitting it, and it was probably the slowest spin move.
It kind of was slow.
It probably was the slowest spin move that I probably have ever seen or been a part of.
Maybe that's why it worked.
Did somebody say that to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember scoring some touchdowns, and I called my agent. He was like, yo, I'm going to just tell you, you look slow on the field.
It was the slowest spin move, but once I got – around this out of the spin and I seen it was just me and the punter, I was like, if I let this punter catch me, then I don't deserve to be on this field. And so I knew he wasn't gonna catch me, so I just had, you know, my main thing was just to get into the end zone. After that, you know, I made the first person miss, I made the second person miss, and, you know, I come upon a punter, and if the punter makes the tackle, then I shouldn't be back there.
You know, as you talk about doing return work, you're a guy, punt return, kick return, you can do all that stuff. And there are a lot of guys that make a living doing that. And so, you know, yesterday the competition committee came down with all of these rules, and then Mark Murphy, an executive for the Packers, actually said they're getting closer to eliminating kickoffs from the game. So when you hear something like that, what goes through your mind?
Me personally, I don't like it because I feel like you're taking away from the game of football what the game is originated from, you know. This is what, you know, guys are built. This is what a lot of guys, like you said, this is how they feed their families, you know. So if you take that away, then what's the next step? Like, how do these guys feed their families? And now they have to work, you know, 10 times harder than what they were before. And so, you know, I hope it doesn't happen. I understand the thought process behind it, the injuries, but, you know, it's a part of our game. And I don't want to sound like crazy or anything, but you know what you signed up for once you signed on those dotted lines since you were a young kid. And I just think you just had to, you know, there's a safe way to play the game, and you know, if you play the game safely, then, you know, we can prevent those injuries.
Kalen, I want to ask you, we didn't get a chance when you were here with the Bills in 2017 to get you on the show. Your high school, Long Beach Polytechnic Institute outside Los Angeles, really some great football products coming out of there. Willie McGinnis, right, Pro Football Hall of Famer, DeSean Jackson, Juju Smith-Schuster.
The list goes on.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The list goes on. I think there's somewhat of around 60 players that have been in it, that have went to the NFL from Long Beach Poly High School. And so it's a prestigious high school, prestigious sports high school, not just football, but sports in general. Billie Jean King.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Tony Gwynn, okay. Chase Utley. Mm-hmm. You know, the list goes on, you know. So is that is definitely a place where, you know, I began and, you know, my journey started.
Yeah, Jersey. but listen, I was watching Netflix, and I had talked about this on the show before, the Coach Snoop show. Yeah. I don't know if you watch it, but he has that SYN and whatever it is, the Snoop Football League.
Yeah, SYFL.
Yeah, yeah. How big is that now grown into in L.A.?
I wasn't a part of his football league, but, you know, knowing people who played in his football league and who have been successful outside after playing in his league, he's definitely one of the people who's actually trying to give back to the community. He's doing the right things. He's giving the right guidance to these kids, to the young kids, and letting them know that, you know, if you work hard enough, you can get to where you want to get to. You can do the things that you want to do. And so if he continues to do that, and which he is, you know, his legacy will live on forever.
Hey, Kalen, our show is a radio show and a TV show, and the viewers on TV get a chance to see what I consider the best hoodie I've ever seen in my life. How would you describe that? That is spectacular.
Man, I just walked into Macy's, and I was just going to go get a regular white T-shirt.
That's not a regular white
T-shirt. You got a hoodie.
I ended up coming out of with a hoodie. So
that's a great hoodie.
You know. Did you get this when you were like, all right, I'm going back to Buffalo? Because you said you were getting a T-shirt, and then you ended up with a hoodie. So I'm going back to Buffalo. Let me get a hoodie instead of a T-shirt.
I was legit going to go just get a white T-shirt.
Yeah.
I needed a white T-shirt. I was on my
you couldn't just, it caught you.
And I didn't even end up getting a white T-shirt.
You didn't even get that.
I ended up spending $85 on this sweater.
That thing will catch your eye, though. You walk by, what is that?
I need that.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, like I said, I like walked into Macy's, and that was the first thing I seen. I legit went in there to get the white T-shirt and walked out with $85 sweat.
That's an upgrade. Kalen, thanks for this. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, man, no
Welcome
problem.
Welcome back to Buffalo.
Appreciate you guys.
Kalen Clay, wide receiver, re-signed with the Buffalo Bills today. Donald and I back to talk in a moment. John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Don and I just spent the last few minutes of the break talking about how Kalen Clay could play a role in this offense, right, with his speed. Didn't get a chance to do it last year with the Bills. He was mostly a special teamer, but the fact that he met with Brian Daboll means that they have offensive plans, you would think, at least today, for Kalen Clay moving forward.
And when you think about it and you think about the guys on the roster, I mean, everybody's on a blank slate.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you were here last year or not. This is a new offensive coordinator. He's going to want the guys that he trusts on the field. Now, you know, they bring in Kalen Clay, and he wasn't with Brian Daboll, but all of these guys get to show what they have once they get to training camp. And it's not even just the offensive coordinator. He's going to be able to build a rapport with whatever quarterback is going to be playing on Sundays as well. And that could be A.J. McCarron. That could be Nathan Peterman. It could be whoever they draft. But everybody on the offensive side of the ball is on a blank slate, with the exception of LeSean McCoy, because everybody knows that LeSean McCoy is that guy.
You know what? I feel bad for him. That great punt return touchdown against the Jets, and he looks at it as kind of a negative because of a slow spin move. You know what I mean? It'd be great. It's too bad he didn't say, yeah, it was one of the greatest plays, greatest feelings I ever had in the league. No, it's like, I had a really slow spin move and almost got caught by the punter.
I mean, because, you know, as a returner, and growing up, if you get tackled or caught by the punter, you will never live that down, like ever. So he's happy that he made it all the way to the end zone, number one. But then when you watch it on film, I'm sure his teammates, guys are like, yo, that was a slow spin move. Like, great play, but that was a slow spin move, you know, and that never goes away from you. Even when you're watching film yourself, you're like, man, I did kind of spin slow. What was I doing? He probably spun just thinking he was going to get tackled. And then he came out of the spin move and realized he was still up and was like, oh, he missed on that? Now I got to take off. So, yeah, it's crazy how that stuff happens on the field.
Kalen Clay, wide receiver, spent four games with the Bills last year, back on the Buffalo roster, signed today. All right.
My computer died. Oh. I need your charger.
Okay. Can we wait till the break or do you need it now?
I need it now. No, yeah, we can wait till the break. We can wait till the break.
Can you give us a minute? On Twitter, we're asking this question on the telephone lines as well. Looking at the draft, yes. Looking at quarterbacks in the draft, yes. If Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen are off the board in the top five, let's say, in the draft a month from today, what should the Bills do then at number 12? Let us know what you think. On Twitter, right now, 60% of you say, trade up, get Baker Mayfield. 22% of you say, draft Lamar Jackson at 12. 18% say, get a non-quarterback. You don't have to get a quarterback at 12. Let's know what you think on the telephone line, 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-550-2550.
I wonder, out of that 60%, if the top guys were still in the, let's just say you add all of the top guys back into that thing. Out of that 60%, what percent would actually say, yeah, trade up for Baker Mayfield anyway?
You mean choose Mayfield ahead of those three?
Some
people mm-hmm. are.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a gauge of how many people are on the Baker Mayfield bandwagon.
They're there. We know they're there. Mm-hmm. We got Keanu in West Palm Beach, Florida on the line. Go ahead, Keanu.
West Palm.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Okay.
Good.
Dude, at 12, I'm sorry, I would take Lamar Jackson. I've seen this kid play through high school out here in Florida in Boynton Beach. This kid's the real deal, man. He has everything you need in a quarterback, everything you want in a quarterback. The only real thing I see with him, and it's going to be a problem even in the pros, is his accuracy outside of the numbers. That's about it. But, I mean, in terms of what he gives us, all we ever really wanted from Tyrod was for him to take chances, for him to make throws, to try and attempt something. This kid does that, and he's not a run-first quarterback. He'll look for the throw before he even thinks about, before running. I think he would be great in Buffalo.
You know, it's interesting. The first thing you said is his throws outside the numbers, because when you watch his pro day, he missed on one or two throws that were like out routes today, and he missed high, and that's going to be something that he can clean up over time. But I think that kid is dynamic, and that's the one thing you cannot take away from. Yeah, he's a guy who he runs a lot, but that's because he was running for his life out there at Louisville because he didn't have the best offensive line, so he did have to take off a lot. And I think eventually he'll be able to really become a good quarterback in this league if given the opportunity, and I think he's going to be given the opportunity. It's going to be interesting to see where he comes off the board and what teams really like him, because I know there are a couple of teams out there that are going to like Lamar Jackson, what he can do, feel like they can put him in an offense and they can really run that RPO type of offense like the Eagles ran and feel like this guy is going to flourish in this thing. If we have a good running back, then he'll flourish in this offense. And who knows, maybe that's the Bills.
We'll find out a month from today. A call here from Jim in Tonawanda. Go ahead, Jim, you're on the air with us.
Jim, are you there?
Jim.
Yes.
What's up?
All right. One thing, I want to pray for Jim Kelly that he gets through his cancer and prayers for his family. Number two, why draft a quarterback? Well, we already got one established quarterback in our on our team. And a backup. And number three.
The established one is A.J. McCarron?
Well, yeah, he came from, Cincinnati?
Yeah, and he had, four games there? Is that established?
Backup.
What's that?
He was a backup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jim.
And number three, you know why the Patriots are such a good team?
No.
This sounds like a joke.
Yeah.
They got two wide receivers, and one is a monster, Gronkowski.
Okay. Thanks, Jim.
He forgot his point. Forgot the punchline on that one. You can't be a stand-up comedian. Forget the punchlines.
Call here from Sean in Orchard Park. Go ahead, Sean. You're on the air.
Hey, Donald Murph, what's going on, guys?
What up, though?
What is going on? I don't know.
Hey, I was just listening to the comments of the competition committee. And as for myself, I played football for 15 years on every level. I made it up to the CFL and got cut. But I understand that football, it's a third of the game of special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they're talking about kickoff, but I don't think it's unrealistic to assume that they're moving in that direction for most of the special teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's a violent sport, okay? I'm tired of people having to apologize for that. Only a few thousand men in this world can play the game. It is what it is. That's what the game is. Yes, there's injuries. Yes, there's parts of the game that are unsightly at times to the majority of the public. But I think as a business, this would be one of the biggest mistakes the NFL could make because they are changing a third of the game potentially. That's like saying we're going to take the three-point shot out of the NBA because the Warriors run up the score too much. How can you change the game? It's not going to make it safer. I know they're trying to do everything they can to make it safer. But, you know, how can you not use your helmet? I played offensive line. I'm using my helmet every single play, every snap. You know what I mean? And I just have a problem with them coming out and not, you know, they're addressing the potential people that could be fans in the future, but they're diminishing the fans that have been fans for 50 years.
Good point, Sean. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. If you take out kickoffs in the NFL, they might as well take it out of every level, every other level, right? I mean, you might as well take off kickoffs from college, from Pop Warner, from high school football. Why have it if it's not going to be in the NFL?
Especially.
Right, exactly. And I think you really are going to change football. And I think you will end up losing some viewership because I think fans understand, and you have fans all the time say, look, these guys know what they're signing up for. Just like Halen Clay just said, you know what you're signing up for when you get into this thing. You know what you sign your kids up for, too, if you sign your kids up for football. It's football, and everybody's not built for it tough. You like that? You like what I did there? Everybody's not built to play this game, though. Everybody's not built to play this game. It sounds cruel, just like Lorenzo was saying yesterday, but it's the truth. Some guys can actually play it. Some guys can endure the hit. Some guys like to hit. Others don't, and those guys slowly weed out of football and don't make it on this level.
Sean makes good points. You do. Lorenzo does as well. Let me just offer the counter-argument, which mm-hmm. I do not agree with, but in New York and Park Avenue at the NFL offices, there's a pretty powerful group that wants the NFL to be, you know, the number one marketer, the number one brand associate in America.
Yeah.
They want to sell soup. They want to sell tires. They want to sell beer. They want men and women and children and everybody watching NFL football and enjoying it and not being offended. I believe that's where this push comes from, Donald, because, yeah, it's brutal. You know it. Lorenzo knows it. Sean in Orchard Park knows it. It's brutal game. It's a brutal game. It's brutal. It is ridiculously violent.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a group in New York, marketers, ad people, who say, well, we can't be that violent or we might lose, you know, the chunky soup contract or we might lose the you know, the Uggs contractors.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? Those are the two for look, those are to me, those are the two forces that run into each other.
And right. And
when
then
the owners meet, the money forces usually win. Which
the,
is just
the money
what
will
this,
always right.
That's
exactly.
just what happened this week.
But then what happens if people say screw it. They keep messing with all of the rules, this right. game is getting softer, so I'm done watching. And you start yeah. to lose that ad revenue anyway.
Yeah.
So that's what they when they're making these decisions, this is what they're wrestling with in that room. But at the end of the day, this is why when we talk about this helmet, the helmet one, I feel like it's going to be – they're going to have to talk about this again in May, and they're going to probably table that thing till next year because that's a fast decision to make, and there's a lot of different variables in this thing.
They did not seem to give it much consideration.
Not at all.
Yeah. All right, a break here. We're going to talk more about quarterbacks, obviously, in the third hour because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to talk with Andy Benoit from mmqb.si.com. He's got some thoughts on quarterbacks, all the video he's crunched. I think he was at Josh Allen's he should be. It's right in his backyard, right, up there in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he was at his workout the other day, his pro day. All of that coming up in the third and final hour of the show. Donald and I back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive, where the Bills stay busy in free agency. They have signed wide receiver Kalen Clay. It is official now, a free agent at a position where they needed a little help. They had not signed a wide receiver until today. Free agent Kalen Clay, 26 years old. Just heard him on the show. Heard him on the show a moment ago. He spent four games with the Bills the first half of last season, coming over in a trade for the Bills, a trade with Carolina for cornerback Kevon Seymour. Released by the Bills October 23rd, went on to finish the year with Carolina. Scored a touchdown on a punt return for the Carolina Panthers last year. Kalen Clay back with the Bills as a wide receiver. The Bills reportedly have a couple of free agent visitors today, including defensive end Terrence Fidey, who spent the first 4 years of his NFL career with the Miami Dolphins. He played his college football at Marist College in Poughkeepsie. Also reportedly visiting today, free agent cornerback Philip Gaines, former third-round pick of the Kansas City Chiefs. Those are the visits for the Bills today, reported. Jim Kelly now in recovery after a complicated 12-hour surgery yesterday in New York to remove oral cancer and reconstruct the upper jaw of the Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback. The doctor involved said, "We successfully removed Kelly's cancer from his upper jaw. He is resting comfortably." Elsewhere, it is opening day in Major League Baseball, and a couple of games underway right now. The Cubs and the Florida Marlins tied 4-4 in the top of the fourth inning. The Mets lead the Cardinals 3-2 in the bottom of the second inning. One game postponed by weather. Pittsburgh's opener at Detroit postponed by weather today. Hockey, the Buffalo Sabres getting set to host the Detroit Red Wings tonight. And they have the debut tonight, the NHL debut for new Sabre Casey Mittelstadt, as he'll take the ice for the Sabres against Detroit. Practiced with the team for the first time yesterday. Mittelstadt centering a line with Evan Rodriguez and Sam Reinhart. Casey Mittelstadt's NHL debut tonight, 7 o'clock, when the Sabres host the Detroit Red Wings. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. We have a show tomorrow, Donald, noon to 3. Mm. It'll be a holiday for some folks, but we'll do a show tomorrow.
We'll do a show.
And then Monday, there is no show next Monday, Easter Monday. We're celebrating that holiday. I will not be here Tuesday. I believe it's going to be you and Steve Tasker. I will be on my way home from San Antonio, Texas.
Hopefully a happy Murph.
Should be, yeah. I think Michigan's going to be okay, especially Saturday night.
We'll see.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
That's right. We'll talk about it. No, we're going to talk about this Saturday, and if they make it to Monday, we'll talk about it too.
Okay.
That's right.
We will. It's going to be fun. Yeah. Hey, our Twitter poll today, if the Bills, you know, we've taken you right through the steps, right? The other day, Tuesday, we talked about, all right, should the Bills move up? Should they make the big dramatic move up and get a quarterback? Overwhelmingly, 62% of you said yes, they should. Yesterday, our Twitter poll was, okay, you want to move up? Which guy do you want? It was fairly overwhelming yesterday. I think it was Josh Rosen, right, that most people wanted, I think. Mm-hmm. Now, today, the Twitter question that we posed to you, okay, what if the top three guys, and this is only consensus, top three guys, are not available? If Darnold, Rosen, and Josh Allen are off the board in the top five, what should the Buffalo Bills do at the number 12 spot? That's our Twitter poll. It's been up now for a couple of hours. 59% of you say trade up for Baker Mayfield. 23% of you say go with Lamar Jackson, the Louisville quarterback at number 12. 18% of you say the heck, the quarterback's drafted a non-quarterback at 12. What do you think, Donald?
I think I'm in the Baker Mayfield camp, and I've been for a long while, and I think you trade up for Baker Mayfield.
You trade up to get him?
Yeah, I think he'll be gone. I think somebody's going to take him. You know, I just think teams need quarterbacks too much. And I know the height is an issue for a lot of teams, but when you talk to scouts, that's not even the big issue. Maybe that's just a media issue.
Yeah,
I think his mentality and attitude would be a bigger issue for everybody, for most of these teams, than the height. You'll have now some teams do want a guy who's 6'5", or whatever the case may be. But I think he'll be gone just because he's an accurate passer. He's won some games out there at Oklahoma. He won the Heisman. And I think teams will like his attitude and all that stuff. So I think he'll be gone. I think you'll have to trade up to get Baker Mayfield. And if he's gone, then you sit there and draft somebody else.
We've got phone lines open if you care to weigh in on this or anything else in regard to quarterbacks or whatever, and we'll get to those phone calls in a moment. But right now we get to our Subway Fresh Take Hotline talk with one of our favorite guests. He is a longtime writer now for mmqb.si.com, covers the NFL for si.com. Happy to have Andy Benoit with us. Andy, good afternoon to you. John Murphy and Donald Jones here in Buffalo. Thanks for spending time with us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, how are you guys?
Good. Are you out in Boise today?
I am. I'm out literally walking around in Boise right now, too, in my neighborhood here.
Oh, cool.
All right. What's the weather like?
High 50s and clear.
Hey, the reason I asked about Boise is I think my producer told me you actually were at in Laramie, Wyoming, what, late last week when Josh Allen threw on his pro day? Is that true?
That is true, yeah. I went up, and I don't know, this elevation is 7,200 feet in Laramie. I was not out walking. I would not be doing an interview on the phone there because I was gasping for air every time I walked around. But I was there, yeah. It was a good pro day.
What
was
that, did you drive?
I flew into Denver and then drove the 2 hours up to Laramie.
Okay.
What was that drive like? It's probably beautiful, right?
It is. It gets beautiful as you get to Laramie. The first part's pretty open and flat, but then as you get up there, the terrain is pretty cool. Yeah, it's not as mountainous as I would have guessed. It's like a giant bunch of ranches out high there. Mm-hmm. But I'm always interested in any new part of the country.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of Josh Allen at that pro day? Only a pro day, I know, but what did you make of him?
The arm strength thing is real. It's very real. He's a better athlete than a lot of arm strength type of guys. Like Jamarcus Russell, for example, people have said, well, Allen's got the biggest raw arm since Jamarcus Russell. Russell couldn't throw on the move or really move at all the way Allen can. It's two different guys. Allen, I think the biggest comparison stylistically for Allen, and they have different mechanics. They see and approach the game differently, but just in terms of what you can do and scheme with them, I think he's a version of Cam Newton, and I include the running game as part of that. He's not Cam. He's not having Cam's transcendent as a power runner, but Wyoming did a lot of those same things Carolina did in their ground game. And then Allen, I think, is a better on-the-move passer than Newton. Both guys, by the way, are inconsistent with their accuracy, and that's the question whenever you talk about these guys.
Hey, Andy, I've been accused here on the show of being a Josh Allen proponent, and I'm not. I respect what he's done. But what I am is a guy who talks to some NFL scouts from time to time. They're the ones who say Josh Allen belongs in the top caliber, of the conversation about which quarterback goes early in this draft. Do you get that too? Do you talk to NFL people? And what do they say about him as among this pretty good quarterback class we have this year?
Yeah, I do get that. I was at the Senior Bowl, and I had coaches pointing to me. I know you don't watch college. This is Josh Allen. You need to take a look at him for the first time. You'll be in awe of his arm strength. Hey, watch him throw. He's throwing out. Look at that. Did you see that? Coaches are sitting there chattering in the stands like fans would. And coaches say they don't get scintillated by these raw talents, and the film matters, and that's what you got to look at. And that's true, and they believe that, but they're still human beings, and they've been around a lot of football over the years. And when they come across a guy who can throw the football, arguably better or at least stronger, certainly than maybe anyone they've ever seen, that wows them. And then they're going to act on being wild like that because, again, they're human beings.
Andy, we heard Hugh Jackson come out after the combine, and he was wowed by the arm strength of Josh Allen, and he talked about, he threw the ball and it hit someone in the chest, and you could hear it from a mile away.
Yep.
I don't know if you heard the same thing, but Hugh Jackson said he did. They sit there with the number one pick. Do you think that they would pass up on Sam Darnold and take Josh Allen?
It's possible. I know exactly what throw he was talking about. Troy Aikman was there, and he heard it, and it was the only time all day Aikman broke a smile. The rest of the day he was watching it stoically, really taking it in, and even he had to react to that ball thudding into the chest of the guy. That's what coaches are talking about. That was on an out route, too. That was a timing and a rhythm throw. That wasn't just finding the guy 10 yards in front of you and rifling it. That was within context. Here's the other part of this discussion, because all these QBs we're talking about, they have questions with them. With Allen, it's the accuracy. With Darnold, it's maybe some of the in-pocket decision-making. How good is he there? He played on the move outside a lot. Can he do that in the NFL? I mean, we can go through all these guys and have pros and cons with them, which is not usually the case at the top of the draft. The last time we had a guy like this, it was Jared Goff, who was pretty prototypical, and Carson Wentz, whose only con was, he didn't play at a big level in college. But with their skill set, they check all the boxes. These guys have dynamic skills, but they don't all check all the boxes, and that's why this is such a unique and interesting draft.
Andy Benoit, our guest NFL analyst, staff writer for Sports Illustrated and the MMQB. One of the boxes that most of the top guys check is mobility. You wrote about that recently, Andy, how other than Josh Rosen, these guys all run pretty well, at least get around pretty well, huh?
They do, and that's a big part of their game, and that's also what complicates it because – And college, the college game, the NFL game are so drastically different, and we could go into why, but the main reason is the NFL, the ball is always spotted in the middle of the field. Those hash marks are so tight. So the ball comes out on a certain schedule, and plays are designed with space available on both sides of the field, and that's how you play. In college, a ball could be all the way over to one side of the field or the other, and that changes everything. And one of the changes that you get from that is quarterback mobility becomes a bigger advantage and an easier opportunity to convert on. There's just more space to run around with at times, and you're facing different defenses. So mobile quarterbacks, it's hard to understand and project how they're going to translate to the NFL. That's why they tend to be boom or bust type of guys. What you have to ask whenever you're evaluating a college QB who runs around a lot is he dependent on running around? In other words, let's say we took that mobility out of the equation and said, hey, you got to play without running around. Could he still do that? And if the answer is no, then you can't draft that guy because he's not going to be able to play in the NFL. If the answer is yes, then you evaluate him from there. And it's hard to know if the answer is no or yes either. It's hard to identify exactly how dependent he is. You almost need to meet with the guys and ask them, what did you see? Why did you move? Why are you running here? These are hard things to sort out. It's a moving target in evaluating these guys. And with the exception of Josh Rosen, it's a big, big part of the evaluation process for these other first-round prospects.
We're with Andy Benoit, Sports Illustrated NFL writer and analyst. Andy, you put a post up, I believe, yesterday. You know, Bills fans all interested in how this draft plays out. The Bills at 12 now. The Bills in need of a quarterback. Keeping an eye on the New York Giants, who are in a pretty good spot now at number two. You posted yesterday an article, why the Giants should pass on the quarterbacks at number two. Why should they not do a quarterback at number two, do you think?
Well, the perception is, hey, the Giants, if they take their QB now and they groom them from the bench behind Eli Manning, that's the safe, responsible thing to do long term. That's not the safe, responsible thing to do because that quarterback could very well be a bust like any QB. And the reality is the last time a team drafted a quarterback in the first round, sat him out for at least his rookie season, and then that guy became a long-term starter for that team, that was Aaron Rodgers, drafted in 2005. So this whole idea of we're going to groom the guy from the bench, that has not happened once in the league over the last 12 years. Now, maybe Pat Mahomes in Kansas City changes it, but we won't know for a few years. Typically, in today's NFL, for a litany of different reasons, first-round quarterbacks get on the field. They don't develop from the bench. And so it's already a huge risk if you're going to take one and think we're developing from the bench. And then in the Giants' case, they won the NFC East 2 years ago. Last season fell apart because all their wide receivers got hurt and some of their really good corners started blowing coverages. Well, that stuff gets corrected. The receivers are healthy, and the corners, they were tremendous the year before. So I think Dave Gettleman, their new GM, who's also 67 years old, and just went to a Super Bowl with the Panthers a few years ago, I think he's here with the mindset of, hey, we're going to finish this off right now. We are much more ready to win and compete now than our record last year suggests. That's going to be our approach. And I think they have other needs. There's a great running back. There's a great defensive end to take. They have spots at both of those positions. I'd be surprised if they go quarterback.
Andy, I acknowledge the point you make about first-round quarterbacks usually don't sit, but usually doesn't it happen that the teams are pressured into playing their first-round quarterback, whether or not it's good for the quarterback or good for the team? There's that much pressure when you draft a quarterback in the first.
Correct, absolutely. And the teams give into the pressure. Typically, and the reason it worked for Rodgers and Green Bay is because they had Brett Favre on the roster. It was easy to keep Favre on the field. Eli Manning would probably be easy to keep him on the field, although remember last year they were pressured and they acted on it and put Geno Smith in ahead of them. So I'm just saying, look, if they take a QB and say, we are going to groom him behind Manning, this is our chance. We don't draft number two very often, so we're not going to get another QB like this in the future. I'd be fine with that. I really would. I understand the logic behind it. I don't think it's by any means a foregone conclusion. And if they do that, they're going to get applauded for being responsible. And the point I would like to make is that we don't know if that's response. That's a big gamble to take. You're taking the rookie QB, and then you're going to find out years later if he can play. It's a lot of things that happen between now and years later. You have no idea what those things will be. That's a big gamble to take to draft a QB and sit him for a few years.
Now, Andy, you talk about, you know, they could go in another direction. Running back, for me, is a direction that would make sense. They haven't had a running back in a long time. defensive end is they just traded away Jason Pierre-Paul. You know, they can go in a lot of different directions at number two, but is number two too high for a running back or for a defensive end in this year's draft, or really in football, especially at the running back position?
Well, I don't know the details of Saquon Barkley's game. If he is as transcendent as it sounds, then no, I don't think number two is too high. Ezekiel Elliott kind of changed my thinking on that. I didn't think Dallas needed to take him at number four, especially with that offensive line they had. And then I saw what Elliott did for their offense and their running game, and I was wrong. He was worth the number four pick. If you can get a Saquon Barkley type of guy and he is transcendent, no one's going to care where you took him once he starts transcendentalizing things. Same with the edge rusher and Chubb. And they have a bad – that was a big issue last year. One of the reasons their secondary got exposed is their pass rush really isn't very good. Their run defense with their D-line is excellent. Olivier Vernon, Damon Harrison, Pierre-Paul was like that. But as pass rushers, they were subpar, and they need someone who can get to the quarterback. And when you find a guy that can do it off the edge with the ability to bend around an offensive tackle, that's the fastest way to change the makeup of your defense, because very few guys in the league can do it, and much fewer of the guys on offense can block it.
Andy Benoit is our guest, NFL analyst, staff writer for Sports Illustrated. I'm glad you're talking defense, Andy. I want to talk to you about another post you wrote this week about Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh, a strong addition for the Rams, but questions still remain. Excuse me. Donald Jones is here. We were talking during the break, and I was thinking about Suh this week, obviously, when he signed with the Rams. I don't watch as much video as you, Andy, but I probably watched 10 to 12 to 13 Dolphins games over each of the last couple of years, and not one of those times did I come away thinking, wow, Ndamukong Suh is a beast. He's dominant. The Bills have to do something about him. He's pretty good. He can make plays occasionally, but I don't know how big a deal that is. Certainly the money is big always with Ndamukong Suh, but how much will he add to the Rams' already pretty good defense?
Yeah, I can see exactly how you would see that, John, and I don't disagree with it. I think some of Sue's value, and the reason football people like him, he does some of the dirty work that doesn't doesn't show up on TV, and you've almost got to be looking for it on film. He is very good at setting up other guys on designer pass rush concepts. He attacks blocks to create opportunities for others. He's been one of the best and most selfless players in the league like that for a while. So that's some of the value, but the concern with Suh, and I'm fine with the money too. 1 year, $14 million, no problem there. I get that. This idea that Suh makes the Rams a Super Bowl type of defense now, though, is a little far-fetched for me because, for one, Sue's going to be playing out of position now. He's got to move to nose tackle, not three technique, because Aaron Donald's a three technique. He can do that, but now we're talking he's out of position. And then the other thing is the Rams don't have any edge rushers. We just talked about how important that is from the Giants' standpoint. You have to have someone who can bend the edge in the NFL. In Buffalo, you guys have Jerry Hughes. He's good, not great, but he has that ability to bend around the corner and impact the outside of the pocket. If you don't have that, then it's hard to rush the passer, even with two dominant defensive tackles. And why that's so important, especially in the Rams' case, their cornerbacks are Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, high-risk, high-reward, big-time gamblers. And when your pass rush is forcing the ball out on the defensive schedule, big-time gambling cornerbacks become huge assets because they're jumping routes now. But if the pass rush isn't forcing the ball out and the offense is playing on its schedule, those gambling cornerbacks are the same ones who get beat on double moves and give up plays and play with sloppy technique. And you're going to get some touchdowns scored on you. And that's been true with the Broncos and Chiefs playing with Talib and Peters over the years. Having both of those guys there together, that is an extremely high-risk, high-reward secondary. And the way to minimize the risk side of that is to have a pass rush that can handle it. The Rams have it on the inside, but they don't have the pass rush on the outside yet.
Andy, we're kind of running out of time with you, and I wanted to go over a couple of things with you, and this gets into the rules that the competition committee have come down with a little bit over the last couple of days. First one being the catch rule, the new catch rule. What do you think about the new catch rule?
I'm fine with it. I never had a huge problem with the old catch rule. I understand how the going to the ground thing, it didn't bug me nearly at all, really, the way it bugged a lot of people. I like the new one. I like the third step thing. I think that's a little more commonsensical. So I understand it, and I applaud the league for doing it. We're still going to have some controversial catch plays, though. I mean, this isn't going to end the replay process, but I understand why they did it.
Andy, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us here today. We'll let you go back to your walk through the streets of Boise, Idaho. It sounds almost all romantic. Right.
A lot of potatoes.
No. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Andy. We appreciate it. Andy Benoit, NFL analyst, staff writer for Sports Illustrated and the MMQB, joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Interesting thoughts I think he had, and he's right. You know, you look at these the point about the quarterbacks. I think even us here in Buffalo, when you think about the Bills might get one of these first-round quarterbacks, and maybe they'll have that guy sit behind who, A.J. McCarron, Nathan Peterman.
Oh, yeah.
And as Andy points out, that really isn't how it works in the NFL.
Well, I've said if you sit at 12 and draft one, if you trade up to get one, it's going to be open competition. I think Sean McDermott truly believes in open competition. You know, I think the last one that I could think of going into a season – was Jared Goff, where they said, we're going to basically redshirt him this year. But I think Coach McDermott is the type of guy, it's open competition. If the rookie quarterback is the best one playing right now, then he's going to be the day one starter. And they're always going to do what's best for the team. You hear that all the time, but I truly believe that in Coach McDermott. He likes competition. He likes that type of mentality throughout his team because it brings out the best in guys. And may the best man win.
And his point on Ndamukong Suh, am I missing the greatness that is Ndamukong Suh?
No, I think Ndamukong Suh is a guy who you do still have to – you don't want to leave him one-on-one because he can wreck you a little bit one-on-one. And I think, you know, his point to them not having edge rushers is a valid point. I would say now when you have both of those guys in the middle and Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, both of those guys you really need to double team. So that means the guys on the edge don't necessarily have to be the most dominant. Those guys will see a lot of one-on-one type of situations because if you ever leave those two guys one-on-one, it could mean trouble. It could spell trouble for your quarterback or running back or whoever's in the backfield with the ball. So I think that's what Wade Phillips would be looking at. He's trying to really get some force up the middle of that defense. You don't want teams running on you. And I think that's another thing Ndamukong Suh brings. He's a run stuffer. You know, that's some of the dirty work that he does.
The dirty work, yeah.
Yeah, he's a run stuffer. And nobody wants to just get the ball run down the throat.
Getting no help from our technicians in there, just as I talk about how I haven't seen much from Ndamukong Suh. All they have is a highlight video shown on the TV side of our broadcast of Ndamukong Suh.
It's probably George.
Looking like the greatest player who ever strapped on shoulder pads. Right? You see some of these
plays. See him against the Bills, too.
Yeah,
right?
Against the Bills.
Yeah.
All I'm telling you is, you know, I get ready to watch the Bills-Dolphins games, watch three or four Dolphins games prior to that, and in each of the last 2 years, there wasn't really a time when I thought, oh, how are they going to handle Ndamukong Suh? He's the matchup. He's the guy.
Maybe he is.
Maybe I'm missing it.
I talked to Ndamukong Suh in a player gifting suite at one of the Super Bowls I went to.
Oh, you were loading up?
Yeah, I was loading up. And he was standing in there. He was loading up as well.
Uh-huh.
That dude is a mountain of a man. When you stand next to him, he is big, man. It was like, wow, this dude is huge. And over the years, he hasn't been as dominant in terms of getting to the quarterback as people would think he would be. But I think he is doing a lot of that dirty work. And I felt the same way. When he was down there in Miami, you see him make some plays in the backfield, but he opened things up for Cameron Wake and for their linebackers and the other defensive guys on that line because teams double-teamed him a lot. But when they left him one-on-one, you did see him in the backfield. I think it would be a good matchup with him and Aaron Donald out there.
Yeah, I mean, they're two good players, no question about that. We're going to talk more about quarterbacks when we come back. What if, we've been playing what if all week, should the Bills move up? You said yes on Twitter. Who are you moving up for? You told us who. Now the question is, if Darnold, Rosen, and Josh Allen are all off the board in the top five, what's the Bills' next move? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 or toll free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on our Twitter poll right now. 59% of you say if those three are gone, what do the Bills do at 12? 59% of you say trade up, go get Baker Mayfield. 23% say go get Lamar Jackson at 12. 18% of you say don't draft a quarterback, draft somebody else at 12. We'll talk about it on the telephone lines. Also, NFL true and false coming up when we come back. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the Big Show, John Murphy, Donald Jones. We got a good show tomorrow, Donald, and we'll talk more about that coming up. But we've got a little more show to do here today. Yeah. I don't want you thinking about tomorrow yet.
Well,
I'm talking to myself. More
yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, because tomorrow you'd be thinking about Saturday.
I'm thinking about going to San Antonio Saturday.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about the Final Four tomorrow, you said?
Tomorrow.
Are you going to do any homework, any prep for this, or are you just going off the top of your head? What are you going to say?
Sister Jean's on my
side. Here's what we're going to do.
All right.
Tomorrow. And we'll talk about the Final Four. We'll talk about who's winning. Who's winning Saturday, each of the games, and who's going to win Monday night.
Yeah, let's do that.
Simple.
Simple.
Yeah. And we'll bet something.
It's a dinner.
You owe me a dinner already, right, from Michigan last week.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh.
We're doubling or nothing. Yeah.
So, man.
I think you do. I believe you do. We're not talking about Final Four today. We're talking about it tomorrow. Today we're talking about the Bills and their draft strategy. Okay, so if they want to move up, good. They have a quarterback in mind, good. What if the top three quarterbacks, and we put three names in here, the guys who most people believe are the top three, most scouts, most NFL people. If Darnold, Rosen, and Allen are off the board in the top five, what should the Bills do then at the number 12 spot? On Twitter, 59% of you say trade up for Baker Mayfield. What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Jonathan in Alden believes that, right? You're a Baker Mayfield guy, Jonathan?
Yes, absolutely. I'm a Baker Mayfield guy. I believe he has more touchdowns than Rosen and Darnold. And, I mean, I'm a little concerned about his off-field issues, but overall, I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. He's my personal favorite. So if the Bills can't get Rosen, I think they should try to get Mayfield. I mean, I'd be okay with settling for Lamar Jackson if we can move up, but they should definitely try to get Baker Mayfield.
Okay, thanks. Here's Dennis in Blaisdell. Dennis, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Great to have you with us, Dennis. Thanks.
I would like to know if there's any way, if you were to put A.J. McCarron without his experience in Cincinnati in this line of quarterbacks up for the draft, where he would rate.
That's so hard to do.
I heard the discussion about this, I think, with Howard and Jeremy earlier, or maybe it was Chopin the Bulldog. And, you know, it is hard to do, as Donald said. You know, you go back to Baker Mayfield. He was a fifth-round pick.
To A.J. McCarron?
A.J. McCarron, yeah. What did I say? But yeah. McCarron was a fifth-round pick in 2014. I think there are much better quarterbacks in this year's draft than there were in 2014. So right there on the face of it would tell you he might be fifth or less. I don't think, as a prospect, he would match up with these guys. Now, Mayfield's had some pretty good moments with the Cincinnati Bengals, but why, you know, put him up against these guys? And we're talking about prospects. Remember we got into this with Daniel Jeremiah? And this is why I tried to pin down Greg Cosell on this. How do these guys become prospects? The traits they demonstrate. How do they throw? What are they good at? How do they move? Traits that they have, not production, not what they've done in the league. I don't know. Does that help you at all, answering that question? He's a fifth-round pick, wasn't he?
It's tough. He had a great career at Alabama.
Yeah, he did.
What they had his success at USC and UCLA. No, I just thought my man is Allen. I'm with Murph on this one. I'd like you can't teach arm strength. Either you have it or you don't. You can teach the rest, other than a little basic of footwork. But if you got the arm, you got the arm. I mean, that.
Let me give you the since you brought it up. We'll talk about it for a second. The 2014 quarterbacks, McCarron was the 6th quarterback selected after Blake Bortles, who went in the first round, third overall. Teddy Bridgewater, first round at the end of the first round. Derek Carr, second round. Johnny Manziel, first round. Jimmy Garoppolo, second round. A.J. McCarron, fifth round. Logan Thomas, who's on the Bills roster still, I believe, is a tight end. He was drafted ahead of A.J. McCarron.
Hmm.
Wow. I think that's sort of insignificant when you talk about where he would fit in with this draft. Logan Thomas, who has not had any success trying to be a quarterback in the league, drafted as a quarterback, was drafted ahead of A.J. McCarron.
And to be honest, I mean, the reason for me is hard to do because you never know. I mean, Derek Carr in that draft, Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo, who people feel like both of those guys, Derek Carr is a very good young quarterback in this league. Jimmy Garoppolo, a very good young quarterback in this league. You've seen the success he had in the 5 games he had out there. But teams were lining up for Jimmy Garoppolo when he was still with the Patriots to trade for him. And both of those guys ended up going in the second round. That's why we always talk about it's not an exact science. It's a crapshoot. you never know. I mean, some guys might not have the arm strength, so they end up in the second round. They might do something not as good as the rest of the guys, or they might come from a program that's not talked about as much as Derek Carr came from Fresno State. You just never know why a guy ends up in the second round, but they could end up in the right system in this league and end up a very good quarterback and have the right weapons around them and end up a very good quarterback. And so that's why it's a team sport. And that's why you just never know what's going to happen in the draft.
By my count, AJ was the eighth quarterback selected in 2014, in a year that didn't feature a lot of good quarterbacks. Donald, you've already mentioned them, mm-hmm. right? Eighth quarterback selected 4 years ago.
So in this draft, I mean, who knows? He might not even have been drafted.
Hard to imagine he'd be up with the
top four. Yeah. I mean, he could be somewhere in the second round. He could be somewhere all the way back in the fifth round this year's draft. Yeah. You never know. The one thing that AJ McCarron has is experience in this league already. Whether it's just five games, even just being a backup, he's been in the league. He's been in the practices. He understands how things go at this level. He's read defenses at this level, and that's the one thing that he has going for him. And he has an edge about him as well. He has a chip on his shoulder, and he's going to come into camp, even if they trade up to get one, like he's already said, I'm going to come in this thing ready to go, ready to play.
Here's a call from Manny in Hamburg. Go ahead, Manny, you're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. I just want to offer a different look. I didn't watch a lot of college football last year, I have to admit that, but I did watch the Senior Bowl. And in the Senior Bowl, I was totally impressed with Luletta. And he was the best quarterback that I saw that day. He was in there for a small amount of time. He had a couple hundred yards, two touchdowns, and he was the MVP of the game. So my take is I would go for the best player, McDermott and Beans think they should get at 12, and then draft Luletta at 22. And my question is, what do these guys have that Luletta doesn't have? And vice versa. I haven't heard much comment about the guy. Is he too short, too tall, too slow? What's the problem why he's not in the top group?
Kyle Laletta from Richmond you're talking about. Mm-hmm. This goes again, Donald, to my question for Greg Cosell about, you know, prospects, evaluating prospects. You got to believe Kyle Laletta, first of all, has played at a much smaller school, which would factor into the comparison, but the traits, you know, I watched the same Senior Bowl you did. I was impressed by Laletta. Does he have the arm strength, though, of Sam Darnold or Josh Allen? Not likely. Does he have the athleticism of Josh Allen? Does he have the touch and the accuracy of Josh Rosen? Not likely. I mean, all those traits go into it, which is why many people look at Laletta as, what, a second, third,
right. Maybe
even deeper into the draft quarterback prospect. Those traits that Greg Cosell talked about.
When you're coming from a small school, you have to really have traits that really stick out. When you stand next to a guy, when you watch him on film, I mean, they truly have to stand out. And so Josh Allen is coming from a small school. It's Wyoming. He's not coming from the Big Ten or SEC or anything like that. But the dude is huge, and the dude has a huge arm. And so that's why people really like him. Carson Wentz, a guy who came from North Dakota State, won a lot of games at North Dakota State. But Carson Wentz has the size that – I think scouts really loved Carson Wentz with the size, his ability to throw the ball, accuracy, all of that stuff, his leadership, all of that stuff, and the fact that he had won so many games out at North Dakota State. And so that's why teams really wanted Carson Wentz, and that's why he ended up going so high. So when you're coming from a small school, and I know this, when you're coming from a small school, you have to stand out above everybody else. And from the quarterback position, you have to have certain traits at that level that stand out above everybody else. And Laletta might be a good quarterback. He might be a really good quarterback. He could end up the best quarterback in this draft. But just coming out on the surface, he doesn't stand out above everybody else coming from a smaller school.
Well, one more call we'll work in here. This is Jim in Buffalo. Go ahead, Jim. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
This is me?
Yeah, Jim, you're on the air.
Joe. But
Joe!
Anytime we have ever seen Josh Allen against good competition or even the Senior Bowl, he is awful. And
he wasn't awful in the Senior Bowl.
One garbage. In the first half, the first one, he was bad. He was not good.
He came back and played well?
For sure. But Lamar Jackson has been the best player in college football over the last 2 years, and he's getting crapped on by everybody.
I don't hear him getting crapped on by anybody. Thanks for your call, Joe. We're a month from the draft. People are taking sides. Not only are they taking sides, it's almost like it works in politics. Not only do you have a favorite guy you like, which is fine, You got to diminish the others. You have to make the others look bad. Is that what we're going to? I'll tell you what. I'm going to end the show like I kind of started it. We're not going there on this show. You can have a favorite, but you don't come on the show and say, I want this guy, I like this guy, and the other guys stink. No, it's not that way. Teams don't look at it that way. Help me out here, Donald, right? Teams don't look at it that way. You think the Bills or the Cleveland Browns are looking at Sam Darnold saying, we want Sam Darnold, we think he's the best pick. Josh Rosen is awful. We would never pick him. Josh Allen is brutal. We don't have anything to do with him. You know what I mean?
No, they just rank the guys.
They rank them and go with it.
Right. They just rank the guys. And so, look, we like this guy the best. We like this guy second best. So, yeah, and that's at every position.
This guy has this. This guy has this.
Right, exactly. And you rank them. And then you let the draft play out. And you try to do what you can do to get your guy. If you can't get your guy, then you're good with the next guy. And if you're not comfortable – with your second quarterback at whatever spot that you're at, then maybe you'll go to another position. But it's not saying that, well, we like this guy, and so the rest of the guys are terrible.
Right.
You just like
when I get all worked up.
I do. I love it. You and Chris Brown.
Some people call in and say, it's like it's a student council election. You know, I'm voting for Susie because Mary, you know, her hair is ugly. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be like that. It's not a student council election. We're not like 14 years old here. We're talking about prospects. You can have a favorite, but the other guys don't have to stink, do they? Do they?
I love it.
What do you love?
I'd like to see you get worked up.
We got a month left. Let's think about it a little bit in the next month. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do a show where we don't discuss quarterbacks sometime in the next month.
Yeah. Let's try that one.
Not tomorrow. We need it tomorrow. NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. And I'm not mad. I'm not in a bad mood.
Oh, no. It's just funny.
I think it's funny that people get so worked up and they have to tear down everybody else because they have a favorite. I'm glad you have a favorite. Maybe the Bills will get them. Maybe they won't. But you don't have to rip everybody else apart. NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. Replay should be used to confirm illegal hits. You know the rule that the NFL has made, helmet hits? There's a story about in the New York Times today about the likelihood that replay is going to be used to confirm those illegal hits. We talked about, and Lorenzo talked about it with great passion yesterday, about the ejection of players with helmet hits. Maybe that's one way to decide whether it merits an ejection for the game using instant replay. You know how I feel about replay.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe this is what the league will look at, Donald. Replay should be used to confirm illegal hits. I'm going to say false because I don't like replay. But you might have a different opinion.
That's like saying, you know what, I don't like replay, so it stinks, so take it out of the game. It can't be used for anything.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I think replay should be used to confirm. I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to look at this from 10 different angles and say, well, on this angle, he looked like he wanted to really hit that guy. But on this angle, he doesn't really look like that. You know, I think, no, it shouldn't. I think you need to – if it is – you need to watch it in game speed, like real-time speed, and determine it, and you only get a certain amount of times to do that. Ooh, that hit was ugly. So I'm going to go false on this one.
NFL true or false. How about this one? Baker Mayfield should listen to Johnny Manziel's advice. You know, Mayfield, I think unfairly, has been compared to Johnny Manziel. So Johnny Manziel was asked about it. He was at Texas A&M's Pro Day. He was asked, what advice would he offer Baker Mayfield about his behavior, I guess, is I don't know how you'd even describe Baker Mayfield's personality. Manziel's quote, quiet the noise. The more you can do to stay quiet, the better. He's already a lightning rod, just like I was. Should Baker Mayfield listen to Johnny Manziel's advice? Normally, I would say no. Why would he? But in this case, with those words, I would say yes. True, Mayfield should. Quiet the noise. The more you can do to stay quiet, the better. He is a lightning rod in some quarters. Not mine. I don't have a problem with Baker Mayfield's approach, but some people do. So, yeah, stay quiet. Why not?
I think he should definitely listen to him. And he's had some issues off the field. He's had some issues on the field, things, antics and different things on the field. But I don't like the comparison. I don't.
Me neither.
Go true. I don't like the comparison because I think there are two different players that come from two totally different backgrounds. And, you know, the things that you see from Baker Mayfield are not the same things that you've seen from Johnny Manziel. Listen to it, but also, you know, have kind of think about it, the big picture. Like, I'll listen to you, but we're not the same person here.
Right. I don't think there's that much comparison between the two of them, do you?
I don't. I think people just say he's a lightning rod, so that's the same person. No, it's two totally different backgrounds. Johnny Manziel came from a very wealthy background, which I think plays into the things that happen with him off the field. A very wealthy background. He came in as a highly touted recruit, and he was good, a good high school player, a very good college player. But that is totally different than where Baker Mayfield comes from. Baker Mayfield, I think, has an edge about him because he has been passed over so many different
like
times.
Like a competitive edge.
Exactly.
All right, NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. We're back to wrap things up in a moment. The John Murphy Show with Donald Jones. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills, where we work. We had a good show today. Started out a lot of fire in today's show, and a couple of good guests, including Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst for NFL matchup on ESPN. Greg Cosell talked about Lamar Jackson, the quarterback from Louisville, who had his pro day today. Here's what Greg Cosell thinks of him.
Well, you still have to throw from the pocket. Well, that's an easy thing to say. But then a lot of people in the next breath will say, but you have to make plays outside the pocket. So where do you fall on that line? I think for a lot of people, Lamar Jackson is sort of the poster child right now for that, because we know what he can do with his legs. We know he's spectacular. He brings that dimension with his legs. So the question then becomes, how do you see him as a pocket quarterback? Can he be efficient enough from the pocket to where he can line up and be your starting quarterback?
Good question from Greg Cosell about Lamar Jackson. Also today, Kalen Clay signed to the roster today, wide receiver. Remember the Bills traded for him last year on cutdown day? Traded with Carolina, sending Kevon Seymour to Carolina for Kalen Clay, and then cut him about 6 weeks later. He's back with the Bills. First wide receiver the Bills have signed in free agency, Kalen Clay. He joined us on the show, and he talked to us about the main reason why he chose to re-sign with Buffalo.
That was really one of the reasons why I wanted to come here. You know, it's a fresh start, you know, great program. But it was an opportunity for me to come in and, you know, from day one, you know, learn the playbook from front to back and establish myself in this offense, and a great offense with Coach Dables, you know, and what he's about and the talent that we have in that room. So I wanted to be a part of that and, you know, help us win games.
Kalen Clay, who got mostly special teams return work when he was with the Bills for a brief spell last season, maybe a little bit more offense. Still some more receivers to add to this offense, I would think, Donald, but that's an addition. That's a guy who's played in the league a little bit.
Yeah, I see one being drafted.
Yeah.
I see one being drafted. I'm not sure where, but I do see a receiver coming off the board at some point, a guy who they will bring in here and really try to open up some competition. Greg said it earlier today. It's clear that they want to have competition at that position, so we're going to see some competition in training camp.
Hey, our Twitter poll today dealt with what else? Quarterbacks. We kind of walked you through this week, earlier in the week, talking about, you know, should the Bills move up? Most of you said yes. Then which one would you move up for? Most of you said Josh Rosen, right? Didn't they say Rosen yesterday? Yeah, and then today it was, all right, what if you can't get him? If the top three guys are gone, this is our Twitter poll, if Rosen is gone, if Josh Allen is gone, if Sam Darnold is gone, then what do you do if you're the Bills at number 12? 59% of you say trade up and get Baker Mayfield. 23% of you say draft Lamar Jackson, the Louisville quarterback, the former Heisman Trophy winner, at 12. 18% of you draft a non-quarterback at 12. One of the things, and this goes back to Tuesday's Twitter poll, Donald, when you talk about trading up for Mayfield or drafting Lamar Jackson, and only, what, 12% say draft a non-quarterback, people want a quarterback, and it's almost like people don't care. And it's almost like they don't care if you're getting good value. If you use your 12th pick on a guy who doesn't belong there, even if he's in a quarterback, it sounds like some of the fans would be happy with that. It's a little odd. I don't know if that's sound draft strategy.
Yeah, people, just get a quarterback. I don't care.
I don't care when.
Yeah, when.
But get him first.
Get a quarterback at some point. Trade up to get one. Yeah. If you can't, take so-and-so at number 12, whoever it is. Just make sure it's a quarterback with your first pick in this year's draft. And no, I don't think that's smart. I don't think that the coach McDermott and Brandon Bean think like that. I think they'll be a little bit smarter in the way they draft.
Talk more about this tomorrow. Tomorrow's show features Bob Babich, Bills linebackers coach. He'll be with us tomorrow. We're going to talk with Bills long snapper as well, Reed Ferguson. He's got some interesting stories to tell. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Root, and our producer, Jay Harris, decided to work today. He was back with us today. We'll see you tomorrow at noon, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.